is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy, touch to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there, good afternoon, and welcome to snowy Orchard Park, New York, New Era Field, where the snow continues to fall and the cleanup continues on. 2 days after the big snowstorm, and just really hasn't stopped much, and more snow in the forecast, as a matter of fact. Welcome to the show. John Murphy here alongside Donald Jones, who made it back through the snow. Donald missed yesterday's show because of the travel, and it was a rough go. Tell us about your trip back yesterday, Donald.
Yeah, it was a rough go. I mean, it was cool, and really until I got to Rochester area, you know.
Now, by cool, you mean no problems?
No problems. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, literally, it was cool.
But yeah.
it was all good until I got to the Rochester area, and then it got a little slippery, you know. And
this
the closer,
is Sunday night, Sunday afternoon.
Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
No. This is yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Okay.
Yeah, this is yesterday. And then the closer I got to the South Towns, once I got to Buffalo, it just got worse and worse.
Slower and slower.
Slower and slower. And everybody's on the road doing, you know, 30 miles an hour on the highway. It was crazy traffic out there, you know, bumper to bumper traffic. So it was just a long ride. You know, it's supposed to be 5.5-6 hours for me to get back from New Jersey. It took me about 7 and some change.
Okay. Not crushing, but still an inconvenience, right?
Yeah, it's definitely an inconvenience, but it is what it is. I made it safe, and that's all that matters, right?
And when you got back here, you probably looked around and said, this is beautiful. Look at all this white, fluffy snow. No, it is kind of nice. You know, it looks great.
The fact that I went to sleep yesterday, it was snowing. I woke up today, it was still snowing.
I got news for
and
you.
And I hear that it's more snow coming for the rest of the week. I'm
like,
oh, Lord.
Welcome to Buffalo, and welcome back to Buffalo to you. Unfortunately, because of your travel delays, you missed, I think, what most people would tell you is one of the most memorable games in franchise history, the overtime win over the Colts, Donald.
Yeah.
You watched it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts watching on television from afar, what did you think?
Well, from what I could see on the TV screen, it was a memorable game to watch. You know, I was in the grocery store back home, and I looked on my phone at Twitter, and I'm like, oh, wow, that is crazy. You know, and everybody was talking about it. So I'm like, I got to get home to see this, you know. And so I get home, and I'm watching the game, and I'm like, I can't see anything. You know, it was tough to watch. And my son, he wanted to watch it. I had gotten to the point where I was like, look, I don't know if I can – I can't see anything. I don't know if I want to watch this. It's hard to watch this game. They were just running the ball back and forth. It was like a Pop Warner game, really. I mean, there was no passes in the game. I'm a receiver. I like to see some passes.
Sure.
Now, there were some key passes and key moments of that game, but it was tough to watch. My son wanted to watch it, and I'm glad we kept it on because it turned out to be a very fun game to watch. And overtime, you know, I got a call. I talked to my boy Kamar. When did I talk to him? I think I talked to him Friday night as I was going home. Yeah, I talked to him Friday night, and, you know, he was looking forward to getting back here. And obviously he committed the big penalty, you know, that gave the Bills a second chance, really. And because of that, the Bills end up winning it.
I'd be interested to see what he thinks now after the fact. And he committed the big penalty twice, as a matter of fact.
He did commit it twice. I saw it on the first one.
Yeah.
And I didn't really see that till yesterday. I think our buddy Sal Capaccio pointed it out on Twitter yesterday. But it was the same exact play.
Yeah.
You know, he did it the same exact way. They always teach you, regardless of inside, you know, 5 yards, inside 1 yard, whatever it is, they always teach you, you need to run through that guy. Don't put your hands out. You got to make it look like you're running a route.
Right.
And he didn't do that, which, you know, after the first one, I don't know if the Bills complained, but on the second one, it was like, no, you can't do that.
We're talking about the offensive pass interference on Kamar Aiken on the two-point conversion attempt. You know, I talked with Sean McDermott about it yesterday, and this came up. Was it within 1 yard? It was close.
Mm-hmm.
And how could you really shave it that close when you couldn't really see yard markers?
Exactly.
So that was close. Secondly, though, and this is the point where I don't really have a clear understanding, whether or not it's within 1 yard, I wonder if the standard is still, as you said, you got to, you know, make it look like you're actually in a pass pattern and not blocking. You do, right?
You do. You don't want to leave the ref in any gray area.
Yeah.
You know, it's already a gray area play, the fact that you're running a pick play.
Right.
You know, so you can't stop and look like you're blocking, you know, and that's what he did twice. Yeah. You know, you can't do that. You have to, even if you run into the guy, you have to just keep going and make it look like I'm trying to get into my route. He ran into me, yeah. You know, and that's not what Kamar did. Regardless if it's inside, if it's clearly inside 1 yard, you still need to be running your route and not standing there blocking the guy.
You know, Micah Hyde, who was the victim on both of those plays, had an interesting take on it. I talked to him about it in the locker room Sunday. He said the first time he didn't really fight through it, a pick, basically. He said the second time he embellished a little bit and made it look like I can't get through this pick, and he thought that helped him. He said he did a little sell job and said, he said, I probably deserve an Academy Award for my performance. But he's right, you know, he made it look like the clear pick that it
was. The first time it happened, it probably shocked him, you know. And then the fact that they ran it back to back, defensive backs will always tell you, look, they line up a certain way, they're going to run this play. And he had just seen it on the other side of the field, so he probably expected it the second time.
Right.
And was like, if they do this right now, I'm going to act it out and get the flag. But the first time, he wasn't expecting it, you know, so when it came to him, it was a shock, and he didn't even think, let me fight through and try to act this thing out.
Big play in the game, on a game with unfortunately not a lot of big plays, but interesting play, and certainly interesting backdrop to the entire game with the snow game. We'll talk about that a lot today. We've got a lot to talk about today and some good people to talk to about it, as a matter of fact. On the show today, coming up at the bottom of this hour, Ryan Davis, who has really become a contributor on the Buffalo defense, especially now with Shaq Lawson out. Bills defensive end Ryan Davis has a role to play, and we'll talk with him about that. He is a guy who was acquired in free agency during the offseason. Ryan Davis, scheduled to be in studio with us here today about 12:30. 1 o'clock, our buddy Trey Wingo from ESPN, the host of ESPN's NFL Live. Trey Wingo joins us on the line at 1 o'clock to talk about Sunday's game, talk about the playoff picture and some of the other issues going around the NFL these days, including last night's Dolphins win. 1:30, Donald's got Nuts and Bolts presented by Napa as he breaks down some of the key moments in Sunday's game. What are you going to focus on today, Donald?
We're going to look at, you know, the one thing that impressed me in that game, as I talked about, there weren't many pass plays in that game.
Right.
The one thing that impressed me was the fact that they actually went down the field. You know, they threw the ball down the field. They used Kelvin Benjamin the right way, you know. Yeah. And then Deontay Thompson, who is a speed type of receiver. I don't know how he was running fast in that much snow.
Chopping through the snow like
that. Yeah, and I saw the after the game with Kelvin Benjamin saying that, man, he can run fast in the snow. I saw that in the locker room. But, yeah, we're going to look at a couple of those plays, the pass plays, the big pass plays down the field, talk about them a little bit, break them down a little bit.
Okay, Nuts and Bolts at 1:30. A little bit after 2 o'clock today, Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman, has made quite a name for himself in the world of NFL media. Ross Tucker will join us. He actually did color on the Westwood One radio broadcast to the Bills and the Colts this past Sunday. We'll talk with him about that. And his entire weekend, too. He was at the Army-Navy in Philadelphia. I talked to Ross there in the booth next to us at the stadium here Sunday. And he got in the car after Army-Navy and drove to Corning, New York, spent the night in beautiful Corning, New York, and then drove the rest of the way to Orchard Park Sunday morning. Give him a lot of credit. And he spent about 15 hours in the car. So a couple of incredible snow games. We'll talk with Ross Tucker about that.
I hope he had just layers on layers on layers, because he probably was soaked after that Army-Navy game, you know, standing out there. Well, he probably wasn't outside, but, you know, and then having to drive 15 hours to get here, driving through some snow. He drove through the Southern Tier, you know, which is tough to do at this time of the year. So, yeah, he was – you got to give him some kudos for doing that.
Yeah, we'll talk with Russ about that. We'll talk with you as well. The phone lines are going to be open all day long. We're here until 3, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Dolphins now, twice in the final 3 weeks, and we all had a chance to get an updated look at the Dolphins. I've been taping Dolphins games. I've been keeping an eye on them, watched maybe a couple of games this year, but I really dug in and watched start to finish last night, Monday Night Football. You watched the game last night, I presume?
I watched the entire game last night, which I typically don't do.
Me neither, I know.
But I was sitting there, and I'm like, I got to watch this whole game.
And
the fact that, you know, the Dolphins were winning made me want to watch more.
Yeah. I actually thought the Patriots might pull it out, though.
I did, too.
Didn't you?
That's why I hung in there. I never think that they're going to lose.
Right.
You know, which is tough when you're not a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
When you just go into a game, especially once you get into the game, even if they're losing, you're like, they're going to come back. They're going to do something to come back here. And they tried it. You know, they tried it. But that onside kick was
lame.
Yes, to say the least. It was lame. The Dolphins, the one thing that they did was they played ahead, you know, and I think that's something that we're going to get into the rest of the week as we break down this Dolphins team. The Bills will need to play ahead in this game. If they get behind where they have to throw the ball, those Dolphins, the Dolphins pass rushers, they can make it a rough day for whoever's playing quarterback for this team on Sunday. But it was an interesting game.
I did not pay much at all attention to the Dolphins game the previous week when they handled Denver pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It was 35-19 or something. But that one got my attention last night. That's not the Dolphins team I expected to see. I think most of us feel that way. And not that you ever immediately chalk one up as a victory, but when you looked at these two Dolphins games coming up over the last, it was 35-9 over Denver. When you looked at these two Dolphin games coming up in the last 3 weeks of the Bills schedule, I didn't say you put them in your win column automatically, but certainly you thought you can handle the Dolphins team and you get them twice in the final 3 weeks. We'll see now, right? You said to me in the office earlier, you know, if you line them up and put the two rosters side by side, you might think, as they're currently constructed, given injuries and everything else, you might want to say the Dolphins have more talent to put on the field than Buffalo, right?
I think so. I think they have more talent to put on the field. I think, you know, when you just look on their defensive side of the ball, even their young players, like the young corner, number 25, mm-hmm. Howard, who made the big plays yesterday, he had an interception against the Broncos as well, you know, so he's had three interceptions in the last 2 weeks. He's playing with a lot of confidence, and it showed well as he was covering Brandon Cooks. You know, he was covering some, you know, Brandon Cooks is one of the better receivers in the league right now, speed demon type of receiver, and he did a good job on him. You know, it made an unbelievable interception, the over-the-shoulder interception. I mean, the way he caught up to Brandon Cooks was a good play. But on the back end, those guys are playing physical. That was the one thing that stood out to me yesterday. This is a very physical defense up front and on the back end. And on the offensive side of the ball, that's really where you go up and down with this team, you know, because it starts, number one, at the quarterback position with Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler played yesterday. I don't know if anybody, unless you were a Bears fan and truly watching the Bears, can remember a game where Jay Cutler actually looked like he was into the game.
Into it, but even just talent, too. Arm talent that I guess we all knew was underneath there somewhere, but just so rarely put it out there on display.
That's great. Yeah.
Last night he did.
Is talented.
Incredible throws. You're watching the ball come out of different, you know, arm
different,
angles.
Yeah, different angles and stuff. Yeah. He's, you know, dropping it down, sidearm, three quarters, over the top. You know, the dude is he's always been one of the most talented quarterbacks, you know, in the league. He just has never put it on display consistently. You know, you'll see one game every now and then where it's like, man, this guy's good.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact of the matter is they have talent on that team. They have weapons on the outside that he can get the ball to. And we all thought when Jay Ajayi left there that they didn't have anything. But Kenyon Drake, the young running back from Alabama, is showing that, you know, he's a running back that you can't really sleep on.
So there they are. I mean, an interesting team. And this, I think because of last night, this Sunday's game and the New Year's Eve game becomes a much more interesting matchup for the Buffalo Bills. The inconsistency of the Dolphins over the course of the season, you cannot ignore that.
Right.
That's there. That happened. But they have won a couple in a row, and that two-game win streak follows a five-game losing streak. So that's who they are. Now, do they keep that going? Do they keep that going on a short week, traveling after a short week?
Mm-hmm.
Do they keep that going in whatever the weather conditions are going to be in Buffalo and Orchard Park on Sunday? We don't know yet quite with any certainty what the weather will be. This makes it a pretty intriguing matchup. We want to focus on that to get things started today conversationally. And you, of course, are welcome to join us. The phone line's open, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, it's 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter. You can chime in on Twitter, or you can vote in our Twitter poll. And our Twitter poll is pretty simple. Two games remain for the Bills against the Dolphins. After Miami's win over the Patriots last night, how many of those two will the Buffalo Bills win? How many of those two games remaining against the Dolphins will the Bills win? We gave you three choices. They could win zero of the two. They could go 0-2 against Miami. They could split them and go 1-1. Or they could sweep them, take them both. Hard to sweep a divisional opponent, especially a couple of weeks apart. The Patriots found that out last night, right? Patriots beat the Dolphins 2 weeks ago and then lost to them last night. The Bills are going to be looking at a similar scenario with a game against the Dolphins and then a matchup rematch with the Dolphins 2 weeks later. So two games against the Dolphins remain. How many of those two will the Bills win in the next couple of weeks here? Right now, 47% of you say you think they'll sweep them. You think they'll win both. 38% of you voting on Twitter say you think they'll split. They'll win one of them. And 15% of you think zero. They'll get swept by the Dolphins. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter. The lines are open right now. We'd love to hear your voice and get your discussion on this topic. Of the two remaining against the Dolphins, how many do the Bills take? If they take two, you know, now you're at nine wins with the game against New England sandwich in between them. Now you can legitimately talk playoffs. If they split them, Now you're at 8, hoping for a 9th against New England. That's a wing and a prayer. If they get swept by the Dolphins, there's virtually no chance.
No.
So what do you think? How many of those two games against the Dolphins remaining will the Bills take? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Oh, by the way, we're asking you to do this without certainty as to who the Buffalo quarterback will be, right? I mean, you don't know. Sean McDermott talked about it yesterday. McDermott said that Peterman's in concussion protocol. They won't say a whole lot about that until he's out of concussion protocol. Joe Webb finished up the other day. And, of course, Tyrod Taylor, day-to-day, McDermott said he's progressing well. And I think the fact that McDermott said he's comfortable with the quarterbacks they have on the roster, as far as he was asked, will you go out and get a quarterback for Sunday? McDermott said, I'm comfortable with the guys we have on the roster, to me, is a signal that they expect Tyrod Taylor to be ready. But they expect it. It's not certain. So that adds a level of intrigue to this game, I believe, on Sunday. I'm sure the Dolphins would like to know who they're going up against.
Dolphins would definitely like to know who they're going up against. And I don't know if anybody will know until Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the situation we're going to be in, or at least till the end of this practice week, Friday. You know, I don't think we're going to know who truly is going to be playing quarterback. And that's a good thing for the Bills. You know, it's no reason to let them know who they're going to be going up against. What I will say is this, whoever's playing quarterback better get the ball out of their hands quickly, you know, because if not, that pass rush of the Dolphins will be there. They will be in your face on a consistent basis. Tom Brady is a quarterback who gets the ball out of his hands fast. And in the first game they played 2 weeks ago, he got hit a lot. Last night, he got hit a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a quarterback standing back there holding the ball, or just trying to make plays with your legs and all of that stuff, if it's Tyrod Taylor, if it's Joe Webb, you know, you better do something. You better get the ball out of your hands. And those wide receivers on the outside better get open, you know. It's going to be an interesting game. And not knowing who the quarterback is makes it better for the Bills. But it's also – you can also say, okay, well, you got to figure out who's practicing. You know, you got to get somebody the bulk of the reps.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that will work against the Bills. And we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, and early returns on Twitter, some of the early tweets and people responding to that, predictably, many people just say the quarterback decision means everything. Tom A. tweets in, when we ask the question, how many of the two against the Dolphins will Buffalo win? Tom H. says, depends on who the quarterback is. If it's Nathan Peterman, they win two. Wow. If it's Tyrod Taylor, they win none.
Wow, okay. You know, I
don't know.
For me, this Twitter poll, regardless of who's playing quarterback, Nathan Peterman, I mean – if Nathan Peterman is playing quarterback or Tyrod is playing quarterback, I still think that this team, you know, and Bills fans won't like this, but I think you're going to end up winning one of these games because it's so hard to sweep a team
yep.
like that. And it's so hard, as the Patriots found out, especially when you're playing them, you know, 2 weeks apart. You know, they have – it's fresh on their minds of, look, this is what we did wrong. It's not like, you know, you play the Dolphins the first like, early in the year. You play them now at the end of the season, you know, and so – you kind of know – I mean, you would know who they are, but it's just so hard to sweep a team in this league, a divisional opponent. And when you play them 2 weeks apart, it's just not going to be easy, you know. So I think you'll end up winning one, and it needs to be this one here in Orchard Park. And then you're going to have to go out to New England and try to beat them.
Questions out there. How many of the two remaining against the Dolphins will Buffalo win? Troublemaker tweets in, probably one, ending playoff hopes in an instant. He goes on to say, if Miami wins both, they can possibly steal the last wild card slot. Neither result would surprise me, he says. I'm on board with that. Nothing would surprise me in this playoff race. You know,
right.
Nothing about how this season ends would surprise me. Jacob Wishoff tweets in, I believe they can win out the Bills. He said, it's going to be tough, but it will stretch them. The passion is there. The leadership is there. They just need to win. Lead the Stampede tweets in, two games. The Bills will win two, he says. The Fish were fired up at home Monday night against the Champs who overlooked them. That's why they won. Playing here in the cold with an erratic Cutler, the Bills should be able to defend their tundra just fine, and hopefully the Fish will have nothing to play for in Week 17.
I don't really think the Patriots overlooked the Dolphins. The Patriots are trying to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I understand that they're playing the Steelers this week, you know, in Pittsburgh and all of that stuff, which is a huge game that they need to win if they want to get home field advantage. But at the same time, you know, I think ultimately that game last night came down to the importance of – Rob Gronkowski in that Patriots offense, you know, and not having him in that offense made it a totally different game because now you're trying to rely on a Brandon Cooks. You're trying to rely on a Danny Amendola, you know, these smaller, shiftier receivers that, you know, they're not the most physical guys. You know, when you have a Gronk, a guy who is so big, so physical, a guy who can catch with anybody on his back, it doesn't matter how physical the defense is with him. All Brady has to do is put it in the area. He's going to come down with the ball, you know. And so he's so important to that offense. And I think not having him really affected Brady and the rest of that offense yesterday. And it just goes to show how important he is to the Patriots offense. I don't think they overlooked the Dolphins. I just think, you know, honestly, they just got beat.
Yo, there's a lot of intrigue about Belichick, and he's an interesting character. I wonder if at any point today, or maybe last night, or maybe tomorrow, whenever the Patriots go back to work, if Bill Belichick goes up to Rob Gronkowski and says, "You idiot, you see what that hit did? Something. We didn't have you available for a game that we really needed to get home field." That's what that gratuitous, selfish late hit on Tre'Davious White did, honestly. It cost
him. It did cost him, you know. And first of all, I wouldn't be shocked if Bill Belichick said those exact words or something worse. As being up there, I've heard him say some crazy things to people.
You darn idiot.
Yeah, you know, and so.
Dang it.
They have this whole team meeting every day, you know, in the morning where they'll bring up plays from the game and stuff like that. He'll probably single out Grunt, you know, in front of everybody.
You
just
should.
To set an example. This is what happens when you make a bonehead play. He'll probably put that play on the screen. You know, from last week, Gronk with Tre'Davious White, and then show some bad plays from yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Show the final score. This is what happens when you get suspended, you know.
This is what happens when you're selfish and do a stupid late hit on the sidelines.
For no reason.
Yeah.
You know, and so you cost us a game because you wanted to make this bonehead move. You get suspended, and it affected our team, you know. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't call him out like that in front of the entire team.
How many games will the Bills take from the Dolphins this year? 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, a couple of more Twitter responses. W.M. Arnold tweets in, "After what I saw the Dolphins, the Bills season is over. The Patriots did not lose to them. They got beat by them." Chris tweets in, "This depends on who starts. With Peterman, the answer is 2. With Tyrod, the answer is possibly 1, but more likely 0. MR tweets in, "If Tyrod plays, we win 1 game." A lot of people put it right squarely on the quarterback, which is a factor. Maybe not the most important factor, but certainly a factor. Let us know what you think. 2 games left against the Dolphins. How many will the Buffalo Bills win? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll take a call here from Eric in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Outstanding. Good. Thank you.
I'm originally from West Seneca. You know, I don't want to be negative, but I kind of feel like we're going to finish 7-9. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, with the quarterback situation, I think the coaching staff has done a commendable job with what they've had. I mean, it's been a rough ride. I'd like to hold out hope, and I always do hold out hope, but realistically, that's what I said from the beginning. I could see us possibly going 8-8 and winning one of the Miami games, but Miami's playing a lot better, and that's just kind of the way it is, and I think we should look forward to next season and consider this season a success.
Pack it in. How can you pack it in? You got a chance to end a 17-year playoff drought, a chance, not a great chance. What I mean, I think New York Times playoff odd calculator said, like a 28% chance to get a playoff spot. Haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years, and yet the caller from Reno says, out, done.
I can't. I can't pack it in.
I don't think you can. How can you pack it in?
And it's kind of just fun. Like I just said, you know, I think you're going to win 1 game. They could go on and sweep them. You know, they could win out. Who knows? It is a week-to-week league. But I'm not going to, when you're sitting in the 6th spot and you control everything, I'm not going to pack it in. I just can't.
I don't get that mentality. Kevin in Buffalo. Hello, Kevin. Welcome.
Yeah. What's up?
What's up?
That's every day at you guys and whatnot, you know, and everybody that calls in. I don't know too much about this name and that name. I just watch football. I do support the Bills. I've been listening for a long time, you know, and about this New England thing, okay? Mm-hmm. About New England. New England this and New England that. Oh, you better watch out for New England. You got to watch out for Brady. Brady is at the top of the Christmas tree. You know, his name is his light, in light. I want to hear people talk about how they got their butt beat yesterday. So Brady's supposed to be non-touchable and this and that. Mr. Superman. And then always putting down the Bills. But I'm going to tell you like this.
Tell us like this.
Tyrod Taylor is way better than Brady. way better. The only reason why Brady is up in lights is because of his team. Everybody forgetting about the team. It ain't just Brady. I watched it yesterday and any other day and any other football team. I don't see the difference in what Brady is doing so different on the field with the ball. The quarterback, all he does is throw the ball. But he ain't going to move like Tyrod. Tyrod ain't no way going to get sacked that many times. Y'all know how good he is. He moves. Okay? So it's a big difference in quarterbacks. Brady is only up in lights because he got a good coach and he got a good defensive team and whatnot protecting his butt. But they didn't protect him too good against Miami Dolphins, did they? No. I don't never hear nobody talking about how good Buffalo is and whatnot and this and that. Or Buffalo better watch out for this. Or Buffalo need this on their team. And Buffalo need that on their team. But everybody always talk about New England. Okay, let's keep that on the wall of how they got beat yesterday.
Yeah, right.
No excuses. Ain't no excuses. No excuses at all about how good Brady is. Brady ain't nothing.
Yeah, Kevin, I love it, Kevin. I could listen to you all day, and I think we just did. But no, I seriously, I love the passion.
Yeah,
I don't agree with all the facts.
No,
but
Kevin, I got an uncle that sounds just like Kevin. I'm telling you.
Good for you, Kevin. Go ahead. Oh, keep going.
He said the Tyrod is way better than Brady. All I heard for years is this and that, and then from New England this, New England that. Like they so powerful and untouchable. That's, you seen it yesterday, though, didn't you?
Yeah. You know what?
Didn't you? What happened to Mr. Powerful Brady? What happened to Mr. Powerful Brady with that sad look on his face? Huh?
You're right.
Yeah, they won by 23 points last week and whatnot. They supposed to be Mr. Top Notch. They supposed to have at least 40 to 50 points against Buffalo. Huh? What happened to that?
Man, you fired up.
It ain't nothing. Come on, get Brady out of your head, man. Brady ain't all that.
He's out.
He ain't all that.
You're right, Kevin. He's out of my head. Thank you very much. Make sure you call in every week. We need the caller like you.
Yes, we need this.
Thanks, Kevin.
On Mondays.
Oh, you got more? Go ahead, Kevin.
Man, Tyrod is crazy. Man, Tyrod got too much talent. Ain't no way in the world Tyrod is going to get sacked like Brady did yesterday. Tyrod got too much talent on the field. I think they should keep him forever. Tell you the truth.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you. Woo! Red hot take from Kevin
in
Buffalo.
That sounds just like him.
Really?
And he lives in Syracuse. That's what's crazy. Like, that might be my uncle who just called in as somebody else.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. We really appreciate that call. There was a lot of passion there. Hey, Bills fans, your votes are in for the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week, powered by Blue Rock Energy, the official electricity supplier of the Bills. Votes are in, and this week's winner, who do you think? LeSean McCoy, 79% of the votes for Shady McCoy. Calvin Benjamin got 9.5%. Matt Milano, 5.5%. Jordan Poyer, 5.5%. LeSean McCoy, the Blue Rock Energy Player of the Week. You can vote the morning after each game. Go to BlueRockEnergy.com or Blue Rock Energy's Facebook page to learn more.
They need to – LeSean McCoy wins this thing like every week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he might as well own a piece of Blue Rock.
It's democracy in action. It's voting. Well, most of the weeks it's voting. Yeah, he's the man. Why, who would that? It's got to be him.
Yeah, you can't.
Come on now.
Yeah, you can't vote against him, but you know, he wins this thing every week. We need somebody else to step up on this team
win
Blue Rock Player of the Week, guys.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll continue this discussion. How many of the two remaining against the Dolphins will the Buffalo Bills win? And we're going to talk with Bills defensive end Ryan Davis, who's made some big contributions. He's not on the ice either. He's a football player, not a hockey player. Ryan Davis joining us when we return the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We are back on the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, and joined in studio by our special guest for the next couple of minutes, Bills defensive end Ryan Davis joins us, who's become a contributor on the defensive line, especially with the injury to Shaq Lawson. Ryan, thanks very much for coming by. We appreciate it.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
A lot of snaps for you. What do we say, 28 snaps?
Yeah.
40% of the snaps? You played more, though, you told me in other
games. Yeah, that's about normal. That's about, you know, average snap count for me.
Is that what you anticipated coming in here when you signed with the Bills back in the spring?
When I talked with Coach Waffle, he told me the the rotation is really going to be on us, you know, keeping guys fresh. So, you know, he said it'll be like that the whole season. He's not really trying to monitor anybody's counts. It's just, you know, whoever wants to get out the game, who's tired or whatever, you know, we'll just keep it rolling, keep guys fresh.
Is that a question you ask before you sign? Like, how much, you know, can I anticipate playing here?
Yeah, that is a question you ask. And for me, you know, that was real big because I felt like, you know, I want to play more. You know, I love the game and I want to play. I want to contribute. And I feel like when I'm on the field, I do just that. So,
you know, how often will you be on the field or somebody else on the field? You know, they're getting a bunch of plays. They look tired. Someone starts to come in and they wave them off like, nah, I'm getting in the groove right now. Stay out.
That'll happen sometimes, especially, you know, I seen Jerry do it, you know, this season, like when he's in the groove, but he looked tired, but, you know, he's working. So You got to let Jerry Hughes work, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at him, monitoring. If he don't want to get out, you know, I got eyes on him. If he don't want to get out, then, you know, I wait.
You know, there was so much talk about, you know, a long stretch where there weren't really any sacks or much pressure being put on the quarterbacks. And right now we're talking about rotation and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So for, you know, a pass rusher and, you know, defensive end or whatever it is that you're playing on that down, like, do you need to set up an offensive tackle or can you – you know, we always think, look, he's big, he's physical, he can just get to the quarterback every single time. But for me, obviously knowing playing the game, you got to set him up, you know, with different moves.
You got to set him up. And that's what we talk about all the time in the room. And it's a big part of what you just talked about, being in that groove and setting guys, you know, and setting guys up. So you got to, you're playing a game, you know, you get a feel for the guy you're going against. And the more reps you get to go against him, you can set them up with speed all day. And once you hit him with that power rush, sack pressure or something like that could happen. So it's a big deal to, you know, set guys up during the game. And then when you're not in there, you know, it could throw you off. But the key is to stay on top of it and really watch what the man in front of you is doing. So when you go out there, it's like you never left.
It must, and that's important to watch with the man in front of you because he's setting him up as well. Because it must be hard to, you know, you get in a series and you're setting them up, you speed, and then they punt. And you're off the field. And you're like, oh, man, I was setting them up for a play.
Don't put me out now.
and it's been numerous times this year where, you know, we have clean rushes and we just didn't sack the quarterback or hit the quarterback. I can go on film and look up how many times. And then when you watch other teams do it, the quarterback wants to hold on to the ball a little slight longer. I'm like, come on, man, what is that about?
So, you saw that last
but
night?
But we know we're not getting caught up in the sack numbers, even though we, you know, we still feel like we can hunt pretty good. And, so we're just going to do our part and just keep hunting.
We're live in studio with Bills defensive end Ryan Davis. You did keep hunting the other day, and you did get a sack the other day, right? Yeah. Tell me about that play, what you saw there, and how it worked out.
I figured it was going to do a little bit of play action. You know, it's bad conditions. We're not going to get off the ball. So, you know, I was tight end on the ball, and I figured, you know, I got to secure that C-gap. You know, it was play action. And then once I seen the quarterback drop back, I just tried to get back outside the best I could in the slippery conditions and power the tight end back. Mm-hmm. And then once I saw Jacoby step up, you know, I wanted to go for the ball, but you could probably see me slipping.
Yeah.
So because he had the ball loose, I wanted to go for the ball, but you know, I saw him running. And I just, you know, as I was going down, kind of dove a little bit, got his leg.
No, I played in a game. I never played in a snow game, but I played in some horrible rain games, right? Yeah. And I played in a game where it poured down like monsoon raining every time we were on the field on offense. And then when the defense came out, it stopped. And we were like, what is this? Is crazy. So did you get to a point in the game, even when you just walked out the tunnel the first time, like, this is crazy, right?
Yeah.
We're about to play in this.
Matter of fact, when I got, like, you know, we check in 2 hours before kickoff, 11 a.m., you know, it was green. I seen the field. It was green. Yeah. It was green. So when we come out there an hour and 15 minutes later, it looked like a blizzard out there. So it was like, man, what is this? But at the same time, it was like, man, it's going to be fun. We was all hyped up, you know, like little kids. I think I went out there and did a snow angel right before, you know, it got real bad. So, and then we came back for kickoff. It got worse.
Yeah.
So, and then it got to a point on Sunday where we weren't even standing on the field. We were standing on the snow.
Yeah.
And then, when you walk on the field, you're walking 3-4 inches up. And then you walk on the sideline and you're going back to the ground. So it was funny, but it was fun, though.
You know, you get your sack, and many players these days have a sack dance.
Yeah.
You somehow had, like, some – was it choreographed? A snowball fight with DeAndre Coleman, a couple other guys after your sack?
Yeah. I said in the locker room, I said, any one of us get a sack or something like that. Let's have a snowball fight. I was like, oh, man, let's do it. All right, okay. And then DeAndre, I hit him with 2 snowballs before he realized what was going on. And I think, look, and it said – and it said, look, he's trying to give me 5. And it said, I threw one that said, and it said threw one back. So I'm like, okay. somebody was paying attention. So, but all in all, yeah, we were like little kids out there.
How does a kid grow up in Tampa and know anything about snowball wars?
I don't. My snowballs were horrible. They weren't even packed right. So I was like, man, I was just.
Had a little, but at the same time,
yeah, we're a little pressed for time, so I didn't want to make it too long and you know do all the you spur the moment.
Look, you guys had like a bunch of snowballs on the side, right? Set up.
I should have had some set up right there after.
If you grew up here, you'd know that you don't even try to pack a snowball without gloves. I mean, you can't even do it. It hurts if you don't have gloves.
You know what? We had a Christmas party yesterday, and we were leaving. Me, Preston, Jerry. And Cappy, and you know, I packed up a couple of snowballs with my bare hands, and I didn't. It was a mistake. I realized it was a mistake. I was trying to throw them at Jerry and Preston, but it was a mistake.
You know, just so you know, you got to hit a Joker in his right in his face next time, man. That's how you get him good.
Preston was aiming for my face, so or in the ear. I kind of dodged him. Yeah,
he hit me too.
I think he hit me on my arm though.
Man, you're cold. But you hit him in the ear. Right?
Yeah, we used to have the best snowball fights back home.
You can do some damage if you hit somebody up here. Ryan Davis is in studio with us. We talked about your snap count, but your production was good. We talked about the sack, and your production got the notice of the defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier. When Coach Leslie Frazier talked to the media yesterday, he was asked, Ryan, if that was the best game you've played so far here in Buffalo. Here's what Leslie Frazier had to say.
The last couple of weeks, he has really stepped it up. And we had a conversation about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's really encouraging to see his performance pick up again. He was dealing with some things, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and his performance has picked up, and that's helped us on defense. He's a guy who he's shown that he's more than capable of getting it done for us. But, yeah, that last week was really good, too. He did a good job last week as well. So he's come along. That's going to help us in the long run, especially, you know, losing Shaq.
It's pretty good praise from the defensive coordinator, huh?
Yeah, it is.
His version of the conversation you had, I mean, what's your recollection of that?
Oh, yeah, we had that talk right there at practice on the sideline, because I felt like, I was dealing with, like not a knee injury, but, you know, just I had surgery back in January, and I've been rehabbing and working hard at it. And previous weeks it's been kind of bothering me.
Yeah.
And you could see my production dip from that. I wasn't running to the ball as hard as I was. Used to, and I wasn't, I really wasn't around the ball as much. So, you know, me and Frazier had that talking, and I told him, you know, what was going on with me. He understood that. And we also understood that, whatever I got to do, you know, get it done so I can be ready to go on Sunday. So, and, you know, from that talk, you know, I've been working hard at, you know, rehabbing and stuff like that every week. But, you know, I just needed that talk with him just to get some things out and, after we had that conversation, I feel like, you know, I've been back to my, you know, old self. Yeah.
You know, this coaching staff, all of them really seem like, but especially Coach Frazier, Coach McDermott, they seem like guys that will listen to what it is that you have to say. You know, we can talk about it. Like, if you got an issue, come to me. We can talk about it like men, and, you know, we'll figure something out. But at the end of the day, I need you to come to me and talk so that you can get your job done on the field. You can be successful. We can all be successful.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because other organizations, other coaches won't even have that talk with you. They'll just see, okay, his production's dipping. Well, we don't need him. and stuff like that. So, and I'm old enough to know that that's how this business works.
Yeah,
you know, this game is fun. You know, being around the guys is fun, but at the same time, it's a business. And for me, I appreciate that side of it for him just coming to talk to me. Not saying that that was going to be the issue of anything, but I just know how the business works. So I appreciate that, just coming to talk to me as a man and seeing what's going on. And I told him what was happening, and, you know, he worked with me and everything. So I feel like I'm in the best, you know, I feel like my knee is, you know, just fine now.
Hey, Ryan, you said you were at a Christmas party last night, but did you keep an eye on the Dolphins game last night? Did you see the Dolphins-Patriots last night?
Yeah, I kept an eye on them, man.
What do you think?
The Dolphins look good. I heard they didn't allow Tom Brady, that offense, any third down conversion.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
That's amazing.
That's the first time since, what, 91?
Yeah.
So I seen that game. They look good. And, you know, I was texting my a good friend of mine who plays for the Dolphins, Andre Branch.
Uh-huh.
I said, man, they're coming to town this weekend. I said, I hope it's a blizzard when your guys come to town. Yes.
Send them a few
so
pictures.
I want you guys to come out in this blizzard so we can get it, you know, we can get it popping again.
I guess we knew the Dolphins had talent, but they've been so up and down. They had a 5-game losing streak
just
a couple of weeks ago. So you don't know quite what to expect this weekend.
Right. I mean, well, you couldn't tell that
last night,
man. They look good. I mean, especially, you know, that cornerback, Xavier Howard
he did
a great job. So, but we know what to expect. Just the last 3 games of the regular season, we're all in position to fight for a playoff spot. So, mm-hmm. and they know that. They're not out to hunt, and we're not out to hunt. So it's going to be a good matchup. And, you know, and I just hope, you know, well, we're going to prepare our best for it.
I mean, were you actually sitting there scouting or are you just watching the game?
No.
Because you're having fun.
Right then and there, I'm watching it.
Just watching
it. At the same time, I do watch who I'm about to go against. I know it's Sam Young over there I'm about to go against, and he's an old teammate of mine as well. So, you know, I'm kind of putting together stuff in my head, and as he probably, you know, probably is now too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you, when you watch games, you watch it, but at the same time, you're scouting.
Would you play with him in Jacksonville?
In Jacksonville,
He played here for a portion of a year, Sam Young did, and never really cracked the starting lineup, but he's there. He's been a starter there for a couple of years now.
Yeah, he is, and he's a solid guy, man. Big dude, 6'8" guy. You know, I know him off the field too, so he's pretty good dude.
You know, have you seen any or watched any of the Jaguars this year?
Yeah. I watched a lot of them.
A lot of successes this year.
We watch a lot of their tapes in the D-line room because we like the way as a unit they just gel and just get after it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got two guys, Calais Campbell with 12.5, Yannick Ngakoue with 11 sacks. They got multiple guys that just know how to hunt. So we love watching that tape, and they're similar in scheme and what they do over there. So we watch a lot of their tape, man. They played against a lot of the guys we played against this year.
Yeah. Ryan, the final regular season home game coming up Sunday against the Dolphins. You guys are 5-2 at home, and I know Coach McDermott made a big push to defend our dirt or snow in this case.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys have embraced that maybe, and that's a good way to finish the regular season home schedule with the win and get to 6-2. Would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, and have a great – yeah, I mean, that's to have a great home record is one step closer to our goal, which is getting to the playoffs. So – defending our dirt was huge. We've done a good job so far. We're just trying to go out on top and, you know, and put ourselves in the best position possible these last couple of weeks to get to the playoffs.
Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in here. Good luck to you. It's your day off. I don't know why you're here, but
you know,
you
getting a little rehab, lifting weights, you know. It's a day off, but it's not really
a day.
Not really a day off.
Everybody says that. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ryan Davis, Bills defensive end, joining us in studio. We've got more to come. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Ryan Davis, good guest, thoughtful guy. Has fun, too. Seems like he has fun, doesn't he? Hey, New York State Lottery, inside the numbers. The Bills had 51 rushing attempts against the Colts on Sunday. Their Bills' most attempts in one game in more than 4 years, back to a December 2013 game against the Dolphins when they had 51. To combine, the Bills and the Colts had 97 rushing attempts, the most ever in a Bills game. That's New York Lottery, inside the numbers. Take a break from the expected. Play scratch-off games from the New York Lottery. Yeah, Ryan Davis, I love the snowball celebration. I thought that was cool, didn't you?
Yeah, man. I would have loved to have – I mean, I wouldn't have hit somebody in the ear, but
– Oh, no, you said you would. You said you
not,
would.
Not in the game, though. I don't want to hurt my teammates. But, like, if I was young and I was in school, that's probably something that I would have done. I was one of those kids when I was young. We used to hit the cars riding by with snowballs.
Yeah.
You know, one time we hit this car, and the dude got out and chased us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was coming after us. We ran all through these yards and hop gates and everything. I was talking to someone yesterday, and this guy got hit by a snowball by a kid, his car. He got out and actually fought the kid, like real fist fight, a middle school kid.
Oh, nice.
And he needed security from the school. The school had just let out. Security ran out.
An adult.
And security ran out and separated the guy from the kids.
Nice. Is this a friend of yours?
No. This is a teacher told me that this happened. They watched it from the window. Like, what is going on?
It's a snowball. A couple of tweets. That caller we had, Kevin, with his comments, his unbridled enthusiasm about Tyrod Taylor versus Tom Brady. A couple of tweets.
A.J. Ronaldo. I don't know much about this player or that player. I just watch football, but I know this much. Tyrod is way better than Tom Brady. Real-life caller on the John Murphy Show right now. Seriously? No, wasn't serious. Did anybody think they were serious? No. A couple of people on Twitter did. No, you think it was a serious call? I don't. I think it was a fun call. Fun. Light.
To be honest with
fun.
You.
Fun. Ha
ha. You know, for forever, we complained about the 140 characters on Twitter. Now that there's 280, I have an issue with that. Like, people can say more, and yeah. It just gets worse. And it's like, they send you this whole paragraph in a tweet. And yeah. It's like, man, what?
How about 14 characters? Let's limit it to that.
Oh, my God. It's like two words.
Maybe you only need seven.
Yeah. Just one word. It's all you get to tweet, one word, and we have to figure out
I
what
got
you're
seven
saying.
Characters.
Yeah,
I
that whole 280 of. Characters thing is annoying sometimes.
Hey, Bills fans, this Sunday, Fan Appreciation Day here at Bills versus Dolphins as the Bills' way to thank fans for their continued loyalty and support. They've got more than 1,000 prizes to be awarded at New Era Field, including a chance to win a pair of Super Bowl tickets. Of the winners, 500 will be picked through the My One Buffalo app. 500 more will be randomly selected by seat location. Fan Appreciation Day this Sunday, Bills Dolphins with a pair of Super Bowl tickets on the line. So get ready for that this weekend. We're back with more in a moment, including Trey Wingo from ESPN, the host of ESPN's NFL Live. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
We've got the update from One Bills Drive. Off day for the Buffalo Bills players. Coaching staff working on the game plan, getting set for the Dolphins. Head coach Sean McDermott said yesterday the weather and the poor visibility, along with poor footing, made grading the game video from Sunday's win over the Colts a particular challenge. The Bills uncertain to get a quarterback this week with Nathan Peterman in concussion protocol. Tyrod Taylor still coming back from his knee injury. McDermott says Taylor day-to-day, they'll know more about his status when they hit the practice field tomorrow. Head coach did say that the way things stand right now, he's comfortable going into the week with the quarterbacks on the Buffalo roster currently, which may mean he expects Taylor to be ready to play. Bills still evaluating the bump on the knee suffered by wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin. Bills, Dolphins Sunday, the regular season finale, 1 o'clock kickoff at New Era Field. Jay Cutler and the Miami Dolphins put on their best performance of the year last night, stuffing the New England Patriots 27-20 on Monday Night Football. The Dolphins now 6-7. Cutler threw for 263 yards and 3 touchdowns. Dolphins defensive back Michael Thomas has been playing with a torn posterior cruciate ligament and multiple bone bruises in his right knee, according to NFL Network. There had been talk about shutting him down for the season, but he said he wanted to keep playing. Aaron Rodgers' fate and perhaps the Packers' playoff chances in the hands of doctors. That's the update Mike McCarthy had on Rodgers yesterday after the quarterback underwent tests to see whether his broken right collarbone had healed to the point that he could return this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Devin Hester, the NFL's all-time leader in combined kickoff and punt returns for touchdowns, announced his retirement via Twitter today. Hester, 35 years of age, finishes his career with 14 punt returns for touchdown, 5 touchdowns on kickoff returns, considered the best return man in the NFL for many years. He played for Baltimore and Seattle last season, but has not played this year. NFL issued a memo warning teams they will begin levying significant discipline to anyone engaging in offensive conduct or contact against game officials. And the Buffalo Sabres home against the Ottawa Senators tonight, 7 o'clock faceoff at KeyBank Center. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio. Devin Hester, the best return man all time, do you think, Donald?
He was the best of my generation.
Yeah.
You know, before me, that's hard to say, but from I could definitely say he's the best of my generation.
Yeah, we're going to get the opinion of our next guest. He joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He is the host of ESPN's NFL Live and the co-host of Golic and Wingo. Happy to have Trey Wingo in for his regular Tuesday visit. Thanks for coming on, Trey. Is Devin Hester best all-time return man, do you think? What do you think,
Well,
Trey?
Look, the numbers say so. Murph, I'm glad you're feeling better and back with us this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
You know, Dion was always electric. You know, he was always a show to watch. There was a short time when Dante Hall just set the world on fire. You know, he was great, the human joystick. But for longevity and totality, I think you do have to go with Devin Hester.
Okay. Hey, I wonder, and you're a multi-platform TV radio guy, Your thoughts on the image from Sunday's Bills-Colts game. I have a theory that snow games like that get everybody's attention. Everybody kind of gets riveted to a snow game like we had here in Buffalo Sunday. Is that true?
I loved it. I mean, I get that players, I'm sure Donald didn't love playing in those games. I mean, I understand that. But from a fan's perspective, I mean, that's what we as kids would do. We'd line up and play in our – I mean, I'd go play in my friend Brian Green's backyard, you know, whenever it snowed because he had the biggest backyard. We would go play simply because he had the biggest backyard and it would snow. So we love doing that. And to see those guys wallow around, I mean, they ran a ball 97 times in that game.
Yeah.
I think combined one of the most ridiculous numbers of all time.
Right.
I thought it was great, and I was so happy for those Bills fans that stood there and sat in that snow for all that time for it to go to overtime and walk away with a win. That's reward for being a good fan. So congratulations. I was happy to see the Bills fans rewarded that way.
You know, Trey, watching that game was probably like watching you and your buddies play in the snow in the backyard.
Yeah, it was about the same athletic level. See, that's the other thing. It brings everybody down to me, you know.
Right.
There's no breakaway speed, no ankle breakers. We're all on the same plane here.
Trey, it was a tough game to watch on TV, though, right? I'm there calling the play-by-play. I had a hard time seeing a lot of things. But even to watch it on TV and I watched the tape, it was hard, especially in the first quarter and midway through the second quarter, to sort of figure out what was going on and where they were in the field. It was a difficult game to watch, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Golic said it best this morning. He said, what I loved about those games is I knew there wouldn't be any film study.
Right.
So anything that I screwed up, I'm not going to get yelled at because they can't see anything. I mean, that might have been the – I mean, you, Murph, you've been there for a long time. That had to be one of the worst visibilities you've ever seen there.
Oh, yeah. We had a game in Cleveland about 7 or 8 years ago where it was rough visibility for the first quarter or so, but it got better. It never got better this past Sunday, really. It never got much better.
When did it stop snowing Sunday?
It hasn't.
It really hasn't, Trey. Yeah. I guess late Sunday night, I was home sipping a beverage at about 9:30, and I said, oh, it stopped snowing. I think that's when it stopped.
The thing that I was trying to figure out, did the Colts get out Sunday?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, and well, that's the thing. It was classic lake effect, so the snow was plopped right over Orchard Park. If you drove 8-10 miles to the north to the airport in Cheektowaga, no snow at all, no problem.
Crazy.
At all.
Just crazy. Because I was thinking it would stink if they had to lose that game and then got snowed in, but you're right, it was classic lake effect. Right outside there, it probably wasn't snowing at all.
Yep. You know, Trey, what was really amazing to me was how LeSean, because as you talked about, when you have a game like that, it can bring everybody's level of play down to a Trey Wingo, you know?
Yeah, which is level, let's be clear. That's about as low as you want the bar set.
But LeSean McCoy was still out there making plays, making cuts and everything. It was amazing to watch him run the ball with like 3 inches, 4 inches of snow on the field.
Yeah, it did wonders for my fantasy team that he scored the game when he touched out, too. So I was completely thrilled. But I remember that game against Pittsburgh a few years ago when it was snowing. And both Le'Veon Bell and LeShady both had big games in that day, if I'm not mistaken. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I can't remember.
Last year.
And I was like, you know, I guess runners can run on almost any condition. So it was pretty impressive to see. But that was snow on the field. This was like snow drifts on the field.
Right.
Every tackle looked like somebody had just exploded a feather bed. You know, it was like poof.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you were cold, but I bet you there weren't a lot of hard hits outside of obviously the one to Nathan Peterman because it had to cushion the landing.
Yeah. Hey, Trey, one aspect of that game that's been widely discussed here in Buffalo and Western New York, the overtime punt by Sean McDermott, his decision to punt 4th and 1 at the Colts 41-yard line. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, it worked out, you know, it worked out. And you guys are actually now, I think you guys are back in the 6th spot in the playoffs.
Yep.
Ahead of the Ravens. So, look, it was questionable at the time, but it all worked out. So the bottom line, the end result is the end result. And as Bill Parcells used to always say, you are what your record says you are, and they got the win.
We're with Trey Wingo. He is a host of ESPN's NFL Live and co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio and ESPN2. All right, Dolphins last night. That's not the Dolphins team the Bills were hoping to find here at the end of the schedule. What did you make of that victory over the Patriots last night, Trey?
Well, it's interesting. Let's go back to the previous week for New England, okay, up in Buffalo. I thought, actually, that the Bills' defense did a pretty good job. They just got worn out because the Bills' offense couldn't get anything going against the Patriots' defense. The last two games now, we've seen Tom Brady throw 3 interceptions and only 1 touchdown pass. Granted, division games on the road, but still, you know, he'd been unbelievable up till that point. So the question then becomes, out of the Monday night game, is it a one-off or is there a bigger issue for the Patriots? Because that's the third time in 4 years that they've lost that game in Miami. It ended their record of 15 or 14 straight road wins, second longest in streak in NFL history, and the last time that happened. It was the end of the 2015 season in Miami. So they've always struggled there, and they didn't have Rob Gronkowski. All that being said, this was a Miami offense that has been shut out twice with two different starting quarterbacks in Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. And the Patriots' defense had played very well. And they did whatever they wanted, really, in that game offensively with Jarvis Landry and Kenyon Drake. And the Patriots were 0 for 11, guys, on third down. The last time they were 0 for 11, neither Bill Belichick nor Drew Bledsoe, forget Tom Brady, were in New England. That last time that happened was 1991 when Bill Parcells was there. That's how long ago we're talking about that sort of situation with the Patriots, 0 for 11 on third down. So is it a one-off because they didn't have Gronk and, you know, they always struggle there? Are there some real issues? We'll find out pretty quickly when New England travels to Pittsburgh this week.
Yeah, you know, they always match up with Pittsburgh, you know, pretty well. But for me, the question is this a Dolphins team that is good or are they not good? And like you said, you are what your record shows, but they looked pretty good yesterday. I mean, they have a lot of talent. We all know that. But, yeah. I mean, what do we make of this Dolphins team?
Well, it's interesting because we always said that Miami front seven can play when they want to play. And they seriously came out and they whooped the Patriots up front last night. They really did. And then it was an amazing job by the cornerbacks, I thought, Donald, and you can appreciate this. They knew that they weren't going to let those guys get free releases off the line. They were physical with Brandon Cooks and Hogan and all those running backs when they ran out, and they didn't let them get a free release. And there's not a lot of team speed up in New England. So once they didn't have that free release, those routes simply weren't there. And Xavien Howard picked off Brady twice, the rookie out of Baylor. He played very well, but they were physical with the receivers on the line. And Jay Cutler played like a quarterback. You would want to pay $10 million to come out of retirement, right? That was, I think, what Adam Gase was hoping for the entire time. Look, Miami's interesting. You know, if they can get that kind of mistake-free play from Jay Cutler and they can be that physical for three games, there might be something there.
You know, it's so interesting because he looked very good yesterday, but up until yesterday and most of what we know and have seen from Jay Cutler, I mean, he looked like you could actually bring a Trey Wingo out of the booth and play
again, even without the snow, okay? but you're right. I mean, he's been so if you talk about Cutler, that's the maddening thing about him because you see games like that and you think, well, why isn't he doing that all the time? On their second touchdown drive where he saw the blitz coming off the corner, sort of turned and got away from it, was able to set his feet and hit Kenyon Drake for a first down that kept the drive alive, that allowed the touchdown, with their first touchdown, rather, to get into Jarvis Landry. I mean, that was a big-time play, and he was able to do it. We just haven't seen enough of that going forward from the Miami Dolphins.
With Trey Wingo from ESPN, just a couple of minutes left. Almost universally, it seems, Trey, all of the NFL feels really bad about Carson Wentz's injury and what that means to the Eagles' chances this year. It's kind of a universal like sympathy because they were having a really magical year with a second-year quarterback who really is turning into a special player.
Yeah, you know, I have to believe if he was healthy for the last 3 weeks, he probably was going to win the MVP award. And it stinks, and it's terrible. And, you know, you go through this list of the number of players, star players specifically, that have been injured this year. It's really crazy. I mean, you can just go on quarterbacks, Carson Palmer, Ryan Tannehill, Sam Bradford, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Then you can go to receivers, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Quincy Enunwa, Cameron Meredith. Then you go to running backs, David Johnson. Now Adrian Peterson's out. I mean, Dalvin Cook. It is insane how many big-name players that we've seen fall this year. And Carson Wentz is the latest. And, you know, it looked like it was going to be a special, special year for him. Now, the only good news for them is that they have three winnable games left. And, you know, Nick Foles can play in that system. But what you won't get from Foles is that magic moment that Wentz was able to do, like that scramble when he looked like he was dead in the pocket, 3rd and 11 on the Monday night game against Washington. Somehow he runs out for a first down. Or those plays, like even the touchdown throw to Nelson Agholor after he had injured his knee in the win over the Rams, that he stayed there, sort of looked around, and somehow, while getting his left knee away from more pressure on it, found that throw, and Agholor made that unbelievable catch in the end zone. If they stay on schedule, they can still be very good, but you can't get the eraser of mistakes play that Carson has been able to deliver so often.
You know, Trey, there's a big game this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots, which everybody has talked about. You probably will end up with the rematch in, you know, the AFC Championship, all of that stuff. But for me, watching the Steelers, they're not playing like a team that you could say automatically they're going to be in the Super Bowl. They are playing some games behind. They're finding ways to win these games, but you know, they're not necessarily just blowing teams out.
No, not even close. I mean, you look at the last – I mean, Chris Boswell, the kicker, is now an official member of the Killer Bees. I think he's won three of the last four games at the last second. When you look at what happened with Green Bay, obviously the game on Monday night, and then, of course, he had the game-winning kick against Indianapolis, and they had to come up with a big defensive stand against and Cincinnati as well. So, you know, here's the question going into that game. I think when the Dolphins beat the Patriots, I think everyone around the league said they might actually be beatable because they've been on this eight-game winning streak, New England has. So now going into this huge showdown, which could very well determine, depending on what Jacksonville does, because they have a tiebreaker over Pittsburgh if they have the same record. Do you trust at this point the Steelers' defense to make enough stops? Because that certainly wasn't the case of the last few weeks. Or can you trust that Patriots defense to make enough stops against a Steelers team that had Big Ben throw for 500 yards without Juju Smith-Schuster, who they get back? So I think this game really could be another shootout between these two, and it may depend on who has the ball last.
Hey, Trey, before we let you go, I tuned in late to Golic and Wingo on ESPN2 and saw your co-host, Mike Golic, like, diving into a pie or a cake or something? What?
Yeah, it was his birthday today. So we gave the big dumb animal a bunch of cakes. And I challenged him at the end, if you're gonna go all in, you might as well go all in. And, you know, to his credit, he is who he is. He went face first into like cake number 43 on the day.
Oh, that was one of several cakes.
Absolutely, yeah. He's double nickels. He's Sammy Hagar. He can't drive 55, so he's 55 today. So he celebrated in style.
Is that the only one that he's went face first in? Or?
Oh no, I'm sure right now he's at home waiting in a bath of cakes.
Hey Trey, thanks for this. We'll talk to you again next week. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Look forward to it.
Okay, Trey Wingo, the host of ESPN's NFL Live, co-host of Golic and Wingo, 6 a.m., 10 a.m. on ESPN 2, ESPN Radio, streaming on the ESPN app. They have a lot of fun on that show, appears, Donald.
Yeah, I mean.
What have they got that we don't have, except Mike Golic diving into headfirst into cakes?
Well, maybe.
Maybe we can make that happen.
My birthday is Sunday.
This Sunday. Well, let's get some cakes and put Donald to the test.
Yeah, big 3-0.
I'm up for it. Oh, wow. Excellent. Yeah, this big Sunday. 3-0. Hey, let's reset a little bit where we're at. We're talking about the Dolphins, quite frankly, because I think they surprised a lot of folks with the way they played last night. Trey talked about it. So now we know two games left for the Bills against the Miami Dolphins, right? This week and then 2 weeks away against the Dolphins in Miami. After that game last night, how many of those two will the Buffalo Bills win against the Dolphins of the remaining two? How many do you think? That's our Twitter poll. 47% of you say you think they'll sweep. 38% say you think they'll split. And 15% of you think they will win none of the two, that they'll be swept. Give us your thoughts. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Bills and Miami, I think they can win two, Donald. I'm still holding out hope. And I think the erratic nature of the Dolphins makes that possible, right? They played great last night. They haven't played like that at all this year.
You know, which is crazy because these teams have both been erratic. You know, they've both been inconsistent.
Bills have too.
And so it's like, man, which team are you going to get out of both of these teams on this Sunday? Which team will you get in a couple of weeks, you know, on New Year's down in Miami? You know, you just don't know. And that team, the Miami team we saw last night, that is a team that looked like they could beat a lot of teams in this league. But then you've seen them play, and it's like, what are they doing right now? You know, they can't beat anybody, you know. So it's really with that team, the Dolphins, you don't really know what to think about that team. But people probably say the same thing about the Bills. I say the same thing about the Bills, you know. Like, what team are we going to get out of the Bills today? You'll have one game where the defense plays great, the offense doesn't. You know, then you have another game where the defense doesn't play that well, the offense is playing a little bit better, you still lose the game or something like that. Or you end up winning the game because of that. They haven't been able to consistently string, you know, all facets of their team together. Offense, defense, and special teams. This week they will need to do that, you know. And in order to, for me, beat the Dolphins, starting with this Sunday, we talked about this all year, you need to run the ball. You need to run the ball well. You know, you need to play ahead. You need to control the clock. You know, all of the things that we usually talk about, it's important this week because if you get behind in this game, then you're forced to pass the ball. This is not a team that all year has been able to really pass the ball and get themselves out of trouble. You don't want to get into that situation with the Dolphins' defensive front, you know, the front seven that they have. They can put pressure on any quarterback. They can put pressure on a Tom Brady who's getting the ball out in 2 seconds, sometimes under 2 seconds. That means they can put pressure on anybody, you know. They have big, lanky talented defensive ends and defensive tackles and linebackers, you know. So they need to play ahead. If they do that, then they can win both of these games. For me, though, I see a split.
Okay, we'll see how it plays out. Let's hear from you. How many of the remaining two against the Dolphins do the Bills get? Give us a call. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. A couple of tweets in on this topic. Paige tweets in, just enough, Paige says, one win against the Dolphins of the two, just enough to keep us out of the playoffs and ruin Christmas like the last 17 years. Ruining Christmas. Don't put that on the Buffalo Bills, please. Ruining Christmas. Oh, that is so sad.
That's a lot of Christmas is ruined over the last 17 years.
The Dolphins ruined the Patriots night last night with that 27-20 win over New England. Sounds like it may have ruined Bill Belichick, too. I don't know if folks heard this. Belichick's news conference, brief post-game press conference, last night, obviously upset with the way his team played. They really actually failed to show up for the game at all. And we want to play you some of these comments, some of the questions and answers from Bill Belichick. And it started last night after the game, after the seven-point loss to the Miami Dolphins. Belichick, Patriots coach, asked if he thought his team might have been looking ahead to next week, looking to the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No. Any questions about the game or no?
Third down, you struggled 0 for 11.
My goodness.
Can you put your hand? Not any particular reason why. There seems to be continuous struggles every year you come down here. It's 4 out of 5 years now you've lost down here.
And I'm not
reading on anything why here is such a struggle.
Were you here last year?
Well, last year you lost the previous
game. So, look, every game's its own game, okay? I mean, I don't think what happened 5 years ago has anything to do with tonight.
I have a question, Coach. Can you explain the onside kick, what happened there? With that kick.
They recovered it.
I hope you could hear some of that.
He's he was like whispering almost.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me wonder, and I'll point this out to you because you've been in these press conferences for a long time. It sounds like the media is somewhat scared to ask him questions. Like, there were pauses between each question. Then you hear a guy like, I got a question for you, coach.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, normally you're waiting to fire something at a coach, but it seems like they're scared to ask him a question.
It does. And who wouldn't be, really? Not that he's going to hurt you,
right,
but certainly he's going to do his best to make you sound like an idiot. And, you know, the question, I mean, they're all bad answers. Looking ahead to next week, not the greatest question, but Belichick, the first answer, no, give me a break. I mean, 0 for 11 on third downs. You know, I don't care if you got to make something up, Bill Belichick, if you got to say, well, you know, they pressured us a lot on third downs. I mean, blah, blah, fill in 20 seconds. Give somebody something to work with. And he just goes, not good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. And the worst was did you see the onside at the end, the onside attempt?
That was
the worst. And so they asked, can you explain the onside kick? What happened there with that kick? That is an earnest, good faith question. Like, basically, and I would ask that question, what were you trying to do there?
Yeah.
Obviously, it didn't work. His answer, they recovered it.
They recovered it.
I mean, come on. Give them some. I think it's not just arrogance. I think it's I do think the league at some level, you know, they need players and coaches to cooperate with the media. There are rules about that, how many times you have to appear before the media. Somebody from the league level has to say, hey, Coach Belichick, come here with your 5 Super Bowl rings. You need to at least try to answer a meaningful question. If you don't like the question, I get it. If you want to undress the questioner, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But you can't just mumble, they recovered it. I mean, really?
It's terrible, right?
It's ridiculous.
You know, you can't even, like, really laugh at that. For me, at least, when Marshawn Lynch was not answering questions, it was like, I'm just here so I won't get fined, right? Like, it was something that was funny. It gave us really all something to work with. He made a lot of money off of it, which is crazy. He made like $10 million that week from not speaking to the media. But Coach Belichick doesn't give you anything. That's why I always talk about the NBA, because when you listen to those guys' press conferences, even a Popovich, you know, he is somewhat like Belichick, but he'll say something. Yeah, exactly. And the players, oh, man, they say whatever. It's just whatever. He's just going to say it. I don't care, and we'll deal with the repercussions afterwards.
Popovich will give you something. He will embarrass a questioner if he doesn't like the question. Right. That's preferable to me than they recovered it. I mean, really? That's the best you got?
You're probably sitting there, as I just asked you, are they scared? They're probably sitting there trying to figure out, okay, how can I say this so that maybe he'll give me something?
I give them credit. Those reporters, they're earnest questions. I would want to know, what were you thinking on the onside kick? What's supposed to happen? What's the strategy? You know, open up the game for us, genius coach.
Yeah.
Let us know, greatest coach of this generation, what the strategy is on an onside kick that you just sort of tap and rolls 6 yards like that. Let us know what's supposed to happen. Please enlighten us, master. And instead he's like, they recovered it.
I'm telling you, I always wonder if he's like that with his family, especially his wife, right? Where she starts yelling at him for something.
I hope so. Well, his son's on the sideline. You see his son?
Yeah. You know, but just how about, like, dealing with his family.
Son, get a haircut. I mean, right?
Maybe he can. Oh, man. His wife's like, honey, did you wash the dishes? No. Are you going to? No.
That's why we have a
dishwasher. All right. Like, what? Yeah, right. They probably got five of them.
Here is Bob in Hamburg. Hello, Bob. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
How you doing, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Bob. Awfully noisy there, Bob. What are you doing? You shredding lumber there? What are you doing, man?
I'm actually driving on the road in Ohio right now.
In Ohio? It's awfully noisy there. You got tire on your car, or you just running on the bare wheels there? What's going on? It's awfully noisy.
Yeah, I'm actually in my truck.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob, but hurry.
So, I was listening to Howard and Jeremy this morning, and they had somebody on there from Fox News who made a couple comments that I actually found very interesting. I noticed it last week when the Patriots beat the Bills. I noticed it the week before when Brady said he was sore from, you know, being knocked around by the Dolphins. And I definitely noticed it again last night. Did you guys notice that during the game, he was slow to get up after a lot of hits? And if they beat Pittsburgh next week and the same thing starts happening against Buffalo and Brady's getting knocked around, is it possible that Belichick might pull him after the first half of the game?
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
No. I don't see that happening. They're fighting. I mean, anything is possible, but it's not even the last game of the season. You know, it's the second to last game of the season. Right. So I don't see that happening unless the game is way out of hand.
Yeah, I haven't done the math or anything, but if they should lose to the Steelers this Sunday, that would change the equation for what they're playing for, right?
Right.
I mean, they might not have a chance. Am I correct in assuming they might not have a chance at home field?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that changes the equation for them as far as who plays and how long. But as you said, second to last game is a lot different from the last game, I would think, in their mind, right? Wouldn't it be?
I mean, Belichick, even on the last game, hasn't been that type of coach.
Right.
You know, so the second to last game, I just don't see him sitting anybody down unless the game is truly out of hand. They're winning or losing.
Right. Here's a call from Dave in Amherst. Hello, Dave. You're on the air with us.
How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wondered. I watched the game on TV. I don't think I saw one flag for holding or one flag for an illegal block in the back. Have you ever seen that before?
Well, the refs couldn't see.
I understand, but I don't believe that's ever happened before.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Maybe. I wonder if there's a reason for that. We should ask Ryan Davis. I think players were so concerned with footing that they really couldn't get a hold of anybody as far as holding or blocks in the back. Four penalties, right? Two on each side in Sunday's game.
We give so much emphasis when we have a lot of penalties, not one columnist mentioned that there were so few.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of things. You can, and I did this because it's a habit of mine, on Monday morning, sit down with the entire stat sheet, watch the video, and try to figure out, you know, from a statistical standpoint, what happened here, how things went the way they did. You know what? That game Sunday, those stats, including the penalties, didn't mean much at all. I mean, you couldn't take much at all from the penalty side of that game. It was a basic game of blocking and tackling and not even blocking, just getting in people's way, trying to maintain your
drive.
Footing. No, trying to maintain your footing and get in people's way. I didn't take much at all from that. Even McDermott said, you know, as far as game video, wasn't much to be gained by looking at the game video.
You can't.
Tough to see.
You can't evaluate anybody off of that. Anybody. I mean, missing tackles, falling all over the field, there's nothing that you can gain from watching a game like that. And that's just what it is. Like, the Dolphins will have to go and watch, you know, games from weeks before this past Sunday. Yeah. They're not going to watch that game. I've been in meeting rooms where the coaches are like, yeah, you know, we were going to watch last week's, but it was like a monsoon. It doesn't make sense to watch that
right.
game. You know,
you
got to move on. You can't watch that game. So there's nothing to evaluate from that game.
Very little. Okay, break here. Donald's back with Nuts and Bolts, and we return to look at some of the pass plays that were executed in Sunday's win against the Colts. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones back live in snowy Orchard Park, New York. Snowing again, a little more snow in the forecast today, and we're just going to press along day by day here. There's a home game, obviously, coming up this Sunday, and the Bills have been busy. I talked to some of the grounds crew guys, Billy Connell and Ron Krause. They said right now the field is in perfect condition.
Really?
Unfortunately, the game isn't played until Sunday, exactly. So who knows what's going to happen. But they're trying to clear some of the snow that has fallen since Sunday out of the stadium. And, you know, there's snow on the field, but it's on top of the tarp. So they can get that snow off there and pull that tarp up and have a perfectly dry playing field. Now, that's the situation they had a week ago, and it all changed once it snowed Saturday night and Sunday morning.
You know, and you see sometimes – they'll show on TV or we show sometimes, you'll see the black tarp on the field and it's like all inflated like a balloon and they're trying to heat the field and keep it cool. Now they changed when they redid this field. I believe they put like heaters and things underneath the field.
I'm not sure about that.
Because that's, you know, it's important. You know, even if you have the field clear, you need to have the field somewhat soft. You know, it's dangerous if that thing is rock hard. I actually got a concussion on that field the year before they redid it because it was ice. It was totally ice, you know. So you have to – they have to make sure that, yeah, you want to keep the field clear if they can, but then they have to keep it heated so that it's soft.
They're looking for help to shovel out the stadium. The Bills are again this week. The Bills and Janet King asking anyone 18 or over, or if you're under 18, you need working papers. If you want to shovel inside the stadium, you can do it today up until, tonight, until 5 o'clock today. Sign up with Janet King beginning this morning. You can register between 9 and 5. They'll pay you $11 an hour, lunch and dinner breaks provided. If you're interested, you must have proper ID. They'll give you a complimentary Bills game ticket for Sunday's game if you work a four-hour shift, or two tickets if you work multiple four-hour shifts. Dress appropriately. Bring your own shovel if you've got one. Just come in off Abbott Road north of the team store and proceed to the Janet King office trailer east of parking lot 6 and register to work. More shovelers needed this week in advance of the game coming up on Sunday. May have another snow game to deal with. Talking a lot about the Bills-Dolphins matchup, two games over the span of 3 weeks coming up. How many of those games you think the Bills will win? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We also like to look back at last week's game and talk a little bit more about Sunday's game, the Bills and the Colts. And we do it with Donald Jones and his Nuts and Bolts, a deep dive into some of the key themes from Sunday's game. Nuts and Bolts, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Shop and save. Collect points every time you shop with Napa Rewards. Nuts and Bolts with Donald Jones. Former Bills receiver Donald Jones, marveling at the fact that the Buffalo Bills were able to complete any passes, a few passes, in that the conditions. Bad footing, bad visibility.
I mean, that's a tough game for a quarterback, for running backs, for receivers to catch the ball. For anybody out there playing, it's fun to, you know, hit somebody and go sliding, you know, 10 yards or something like that. But when you are a skill position guy and your game is being able to be shifty and different things like that, where you can't do it on those, you know, on that type of surface, that's a tough game to play in. So for me, it was just interesting that they were actually able to run routes and complete passes, especially passes down the field. We haven't seen them complete passes down the field when it's like, you know, 75 and sunny here in Buffalo.
Right. But they got a few done, and they had to wait until late into the first half. In fact, it was just about a minute and a half left in the first half when the quarterback at the time, Nathan Peterman, had a couple of nice hookups with Kelvin Benjamin, who's been sorely lacking from the Buffalo offense.
Man. Yeah, I mean, he's been sorely lacking for multiple reasons. Number one, health, obviously. Number two, just not really getting him the ball, you know. And I always talk about football is a game of matchups. It's a game of matchups, you know. And it's not something that they had done, but they did it in this game. And the first play, if you have a chance to go back and watch it on Game Pass or something like that, what the Colts did, which was interesting to me, is they went man on a lot of really a lot of the game. They went man-to-man across the board. They had one high safety a lot, you know. And so on the first pass to Kelvin Benjamin, they went man as he lined up at the bottom of the screen. And, you know, first of all, when Kelvin Benjamin took off the line of scrimmage, it was almost like trying to, you know, he's trying to just get going like a horse or something like that. And the DB has to turn, you know. And so because Kelvin Benjamin is already running up the field, the DB had to turn. And he really just couldn't turn fast enough to get down there. Now, he did a very good job of staying on top of Kelvin Benjamin. But imagine trying to turn and actually run and then have to jump with the Kelvin Benjamin, who's 6'5", 6'6", with that, you know, the wingspan that he has. He wasn't able to get that done. And so I was really happy to see them actually go to the Kelvin Benjamin matchup, which it was a one-on-one matchup. They went to him, and all he has to do is jump up. And once he jumps up, he's going to catch that ball over anybody.
Back shoulder. And, you know, when I looked at that play, I was watching video yesterday. And, again, we know this about Nathan Peterman. Kelvin Benjamin was not open when the ball came out of Peterman's hands.
No.
I mean, he expected he'd be able to break open with the back shoulder move, and he did.
Right.
But he was not open. I mean,
He's not open.
The cover man, Kenny Moore, was right there on him when the ball came out of his hands.
And Kelvin Benjamin, on a dry day, is typically not open. You know, he's not going to blaze past anybody. He's not going to, you know, have the shiftiest routes or anything like that. His game is his size, and that's just what it is. That's why we always talk about with Tyrod Taylor, he has to be able to throw it in to Kelvin Benjamin, regardless if you feel like he's open or not. If there's a one-on-one like it was a lot in that game, just give it, throw it up to him, and he'll go up there and make the play for you. Hopefully Tyrod actually saw that and is like, all right, now I see what everybody's talking about.
So they completed that pass down to the 8-yard line, and now there's just about a half minute left in the first half. The Bills finally getting some offense going. The snow had let up just a little bit, but not much. And they had it first and goal at the 8. And again, Peterman to Kelvin Benjamin, first touchdown of the game.
Yeah, first touchdown of the game. And once again, if you have a chance to go back and look at, you know, the game pass, you can see all of the stuff that I'm talking about. Usually on that play, the touchdown, usually once teams get down into the red zone, they'll typically switch up, you know, the defense that they're playing. No, not the Colts. They went one-on-one to Kelvin Benjamin really all day, you know, one high safety, man-to-man. Maybe it was because of the footing. They didn't want to try too many different exotic things. I don't know what that was. But once again, you get Kelvin Benjamin one-on-one, just throw the ball up to him. It's really not rocket science. You know, the dude is 6'5", 6'6". You throw it up to him, and he's going to go up and make a play, or you might get a pass interference or something like that. That's all you can ask for. If it's one-on-one, throw it to that guy. He's either going to catch it, or you had the opportunity for a pass interference.
So that was Buffalo's first touchdown late in the game. Now overtime, maybe the biggest pass play of the game, and this was from Joe Webb, who was in the game in place of the injured Nathan Peterman. And in overtime, and nothing much going on in overtime, the Bills, inside 2 minutes to play, have a 3rd and 6 at their own 39-yard line. And this was kind of a play that came out of nowhere, long pass to Deontay Thompson from Joe Webb.
Yeah, that play definitely came out of nowhere. I didn't expect that play at the end of the game. But, you know, once again, go back and look at it. The Colts tried to play man-to-man type of defense. And a lot of that is because they wanted to get a bunch of guys in the box, you know, so that they could stop LeSean McCoy, because knowing, oh, well, they got to run the ball in these types of conditions.
Times.
Right, exactly. You know, so they're trying to get everybody in the box. They went man-to-man again, you know, and they went one-on-one with Deontay Thompson. Now, the interesting thing with Deontay Thompson, we know he's fast. You know, we know that's really his game. But the dude actually, like, took off on the DB, and then he did a very good job of stacking the DB, which means once he got past him and down the field, he got on top of the DB so that the DB couldn't do anything but really go through him to try to make that play, you know. And so Joe Webb did a very good job of seeing that one-on-one matchup, and he threw the ball up, you know. And it was really just an amazing catch by Deontay Thompson, because if you think about it, he actually had to reach back. He was falling. It was pass interference. He had to reach back and make that play. It was an amazing play. From start to finish, the fact that he was actually able to blow past the DB like that, and then the fact that he, you know, did a good job of stacking, and the fact that he went back and caught that ball,
yeah,
you know, and he almost dropped it. You know, he had it in one hand, and then he was able to secure it as he went to the ground. Just a good play that led to, obviously, the touchdown by LeSean McCoy.
You know, on that field, in that footing, it's one thing tromping around in the middle of the field where all the bodies are, but on the outside like that, where Deontay Thompson was, I'm thinking and remembering he probably is, you know, wading his way through about 6 to 8 to maybe 10 inches
yes.
of snow.
Yes.
How do you run like that?
What kind of
steps do you take when you're running like that?
I don't know how you run through something like that. I mean, imagine we've all, you know, you're here in Buffalo, right? So you've either walked through snow or probably at some point ran through snow. And just think about how hard it is to do that, you know, to run through some snow. You're trying to really focus on your footing, but at the same time, you're focusing on the ball up in the sky, you know, and you got to catch the ball. And then he goes to the ground, got hit at the same time, and still catches the ball running through 6 to 8 inches of snow. It's crazy.
Incredible catch. All right, Nuts and Bolts presented by Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Talking about the landscape for the Buffalo Bills moving forward with two games of their final three against the Dolphins, our Twitter poll. How many of those two games do you expect the Bills will win against the Dolphins this year? This Sunday, and of course, a couple of weeks away. How many games against the Dolphins do you expect to get from the Bills? Wins. Give us a call. Lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Hey, on Tuesdays, we celebrate units milestones presented by Upstate New York Transplant Services. LeSean McCoy, shady with 156 yards rushing against the Colts on Sunday. That was McCoy's 37th career 100-yard rushing game. And his teams, Eagles and Bills, when he runs for 100 yards or more, 31 wins, 6 losses. Donald, feed him.
Feed me,
right?
Feed me.
31-6 when Shady gets 100 yards or more. Pretty amazing. Milestones presented by Units. Save lives. Join Team Units. Donate blood. Visit units.org. Feed them.
Yes, feed them. It doesn't matter the weather conditions, none of that stuff. It was amazing to me to watch him run the way he was running in those types of conditions. You know, and we've seen him do it in the rain. You know, especially a runner like him, he's not this big physical pounding type of runner downhill. He's a shifty guy. He wants to shake and do all of that stuff. And he's still doing it on top of like 6 inches of snow. That's crazy to me.
He seems like a really good runner in the snow. I mean, that's been documented. And it was interesting to me how the game was kind of boiled down to the basics. You know what I mean? And I talked to Sean McDermott about it a little bit yesterday. And, you know, once he came out early, I said this yesterday, got a look at the field conditions, the weather conditions, saw it changing rapidly. And I'm sure he went up into the locker room in that span between 11 and 11:30 and 1 o'clock and just started ripping pages out of the playbook. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't do this.
Coach, Coach Castillo, our run game coordinator, we need you guys to come make sure that we have enough run plays. They probably ran the same plays. You know, they probably ran 5 different plays the entire game, you know, because there was not much that you could do in that game. You can't run crazy, exotic plays. You know, you can't. It's just not much you can do.
Right.
You have to just run the ball. It really reminded me of, like, watching my son play football. You know, Pop Warner, that's all he do is run the ball.
Which made those couple of pass plays that you highlighted, really the only 3 big pass plays of the game, that much more impressive.
Once again, like a Pop Warner game.
Yeah.
Right. They'll throw it. And my son played receiver, you know, so they'll throw it up to him 2 or 3 times a game. He'll catch it. Everything else is like sweeps and dives and things like that.
Rick Dennison talked about it yesterday, the Bills' offensive coordinator, when he met the media. He was asked the question, how much of the playbook did you have available to you by the time as the game went along and by the time you got Joe Webb into the game? Complicating matters. Here's what Rick Dennison had to say yesterday.
The game plan got diminished when we started the game. It was a little harder to do some of the things footing-wise. Just execution-wise, we started with some motions. We even tried to throw those out because timing of that. So with Joe, it really did kind of the same thing. He knows the concepts that we were running, and, you know, David had him abreast, you know, while Nathan was out there anyway. So he was working with David. So it wasn't so much reducing it anymore. You know, it was, you know, we have trust in Joe.
And then there's the post-game evaluation, looking at the video, trying to see what happened and why it happened. I don't know how much he would get from that, and I think the Bills coaches kind of admitted that. Dennison talked about it, his post-game evaluation. Anything meaningful to come out of film review of the game against the Colts on Sunday? Here's what Coach Dennison said.
I've been in about 3 or 4 of those, so snow, rain, something like that. So you always take something from the game. Obviously, the experience of adjusting on the move. We had to make some adjustments as we went, not only just cutting plays down, but selection of plays, you know, as far as concepts. We're trying to get double teams, but it was hard for linemen to pull. So we had to reduce that even more than we wanted, whether we're going wide or tight with our runs. What kind of play, what kind of passes can we call? Can the wide outs break? So we take that into consideration and use that for another bad weather game, and then we take actually the positive of our players' mindset. I mean, they didn't care what we called. They were going to get it done. I also want to thank whoever picked the red jerseys. A lot easier for me to see them up there in the box, man. It was tough to see the white.
So you were in the box?
Yes, I was.
How was it sight-wise? Early in the game, I know we couldn't really see
it. You know, at the first start of the game, it wasn't too bad. Sometime in the second quarter, it got really blurry. We basically, I mean, you couldn't see any numbers of their team. We kind of got figured out who they were by the way they ran. By the time we got to that point, we kind of understood who the defensive players were and knew they weren't subbing. They were staying with their base defense, and that kind of reduced our calls even more, try to make sure we didn't match and didn't put our guys in a tough situation.
Such an unusual game. Rick Dennison, the offensive coordinator. Everybody who talks about that game, fans, coaches, players, they all get a little smile on their face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody's like, that was really hard. And they're all smiling because it was just unusual. You'll never really – I can't believe you'll ever experience a game like that again as a player or a coach or a fan.
Maybe.
Or maybe
you get back
someday
to back. And to be honest with you –
I can't believe that will happen again.
To be honest with you, that could be something you want, you know, just to bring the talent level of that Dolphins team, a team that they can't emulate that down in Miami. They can't say, okay, we're gonna put some fake snow on this field, it'll melt. You know, so they can't emulate any of these conditions up here.
Heavy sand.
Right, you know, that's the only way, you know. But with all that being said, you need to do something to bring that talent level down. You know, they have some talent, you know, and that's just what it is. But now they have to deal with something they've never had to deal with before. And coming here into Buffalo in the cold is one thing, but snowing and all of that snow on the field, who knows? Maybe you hope for another game like that.
Maybe. We'll see. What can the Bills – how many of these Dolphins games can they win? That's our Twitter poll. We'll discuss that with you or anything else you'd like to discuss. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free coming up at 888-550-2550. We'll talk about that game with one of the guys who called it for the Westwood One Radio Network. Former Bills offensive lineman Ross Tucker standing by to join us next hour. And, of course, lots of room for your phone calls as well. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
The update presented from One Bills Drive, an off day for the Bills players. Coaching staff working hard at the game plan. Head coach Sean McDermott says the weather and poor visibility, along with poor footing on Sunday, made grading the game video over the Colts in the game against the Colts a challenge. Bills uncertain about their quarterback situation with Nathan Peterman remaining in concussion protocol. Tyrod Taylor still coming back from his knee injury. McDermott says Taylor is day-to-day. They'll know more about his status when they hit the practice field tomorrow. Head coach did say that the way things stand right now, he is comfortable with the quarterbacks on his current roster, which means you would think that he expects Tyrod Taylor to be ready to play. Bill's still evaluating. Kelvin Benjamin took a bump on his knee. The injury suffered a couple of weeks ago. Bills Dolphins Sunday, regular season finale, 1 o'clock kickoff at New Era Field. The Dolphins looked impressive last night as they moved to 6-7, their best performance of the year, a 27-20 victory over the New England Patriots on Monday Night Football. Jay Cutler threw for 3 touchdowns in that game, and they came up with the victory. Aaron Rodgers' fate and maybe the Packers' playoff chances still up in the air in the hands of doctors as Aaron Rodgers is getting medical evaluation on his surgically repaired shoulder. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio, John Murphy and Donald Jones.
Why are you laughing?
I lost my earpiece, and I'm just trying to follow along. I can hear you, but I can't hear the direction we're getting. So
okay.
That's why I'm laughing.
Gotcha.
Welcome back to the show. Ross Tucker is going to join us, former Bills offensive lineman, who is a broadcaster now, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross Tucker is also a color commentator for Westwood One Radio Network, and he did the game, the Bills and the Indianapolis Colts, from right here at New Era Field last Sunday. We'll get Ross's take on the game and where the Bills are at. That's coming up in a couple of minutes here on the show.
I mean, I never really get direction, you know, so.
Well, you don't take direction. I think there's a difference.
Oh.
I think there's a difference getting direction and taking direction.
Were you
considered a coachable player when you played?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Other than you, did anybody else consider you a coachable player?
Yes.
Okay.
I was never one to, you know, if you had something. And you know, the issue was I might not have ever showed it or expressed it to any of these coaches, but I never really had a true wide receivers coach that played the position,
yeah, I've heard
right?
You say that.
So in my mind, I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about right now.
Well, that's not coachable.
I mean, but I never said it and always did what they asked of me. You know, it was just in the back of my mind, like, this dude is not.
So what were you looking for, Jerry Rice to walk through the door?
That would have been great. But it was you know, the year I left when Doug Marrone was here, Ike Hilliard was the receivers coach. And I remember, he played. And I watched him play growing up a Giants fan. I remember when I left talking to Stevie and Marcus. They're like, yo, this dude is probably the best coach that, you know, and it's because he played the game. He understands it. He understands how to break down different things to us. That really goes a long way.
Where is he? He's still in the league. Is he New Orleans? I think I saw him here in New Orleans. Maybe.
I'm not sure.
I know I saw him this year somewhere coaching. Maybe it was Atlanta, one of those teams. Hmm. Hey, we're back. We're talking about the Dolphins, the situation with the Dolphins. Now the Bills coming in. The Dolphins coming in to play the Bills this week. It looks a little bit different now, doesn't it, with Miami's performance last night. The Dolphins had that 5-game losing streak just a couple of weeks removed from losing 5 in a row, when at which time most of us were ready to bury them, right, weren't we? They lost at Baltimore. They lost to Oakland. They lost at Carolina. They lost to Tampa Bay, and they lost to New England. 5 straight games for the Miami Dolphins, and they came back with a 35-9 win over Denver and a 27-20 win last night over New England. Their other victories this year, they've got 6 of them. They won at the Chargers on, their first game of the year, the second week of the season, at the Chargers. They got remember they had the storm and they got forced to play out west and stay out west?
Mm-hmm. They had to go to London.
They had to go to London. And they lost to New Orleans in London, 20-0.
Yep.
I remember watching that game in the press box in Atlanta, October 1st. Their wins include Tennessee. Okay, they beat Atlanta. Bills beat Atlanta. They have split with the Jets so far this year. Those 3 wins right there, and then a couple of wins in a row against Denver and New England. Up and down would describe their season, for
it's
sure.
Really up and down. And I wonder if, you know, if they control their own destiny as well. Right, as the Bills sit right now in the 6th and final spot, if the Dolphins can beat the Bills twice, they're probably think, because, you know, if they beat the Bills this week, you're going to have the same record, and they would obviously have the head-to-head victory over the Bills, you know, and then the last game of the season could mean, you know, whoever wins this game ends up in that last spot.
It'd be a great scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Winners in, losers out.
Man, that would be a great scenario, and a very intense game, you would think.
Yeah, in Miami, in the heat, New Year's Eve. We got to wait till we get there. We're a couple of weeks from there. 2 games left against the Dolphins, and after last night's performance by the Dolphins against New England, how many games will the Bills win for Miami now? They have their entire season series, 2 games yet to come against Miami. That's our Twitter poll today. 2 games left against the Dolphins. How many of those 2 will the Buffalo Bills win? Half of you, 50% of you, think they will sweep. Very optimistic, but okay. Half of you say the Bills will take them both. 35% of you say they'll win 1 of the 2. 15% say they'll get swept by the Miami Dolphins. What do you think? The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
You know, the Bills haven't made anything this year easy.
None of
their wins, anything. Like, they have not made, except for the Oakland win, they haven't made anything easy. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they came out, lost this game, then it's like, all right, you got to beat the Patriots on the road and then beat the Dolphins the last game of the season on the road to get into the playoffs. You know, it's just they have not made anything easy. They didn't make this last game against the Colts easy. You know, they had a couple of penalty go their way at the end of the game. It's just it's been so much of a roller coaster season for this Bills team and this Dolphins team. It's amazing that you're actually sitting here with almost the same record and maybe possibly both teams controlling their own destiny.
You know, you made a pretty good point about the talent level. You think the Dolphins have more talent. I don't know if I would have said that going into the season, maybe.
Right.
But you could argue that now. I don't think they're head and shoulders above Buffalo in terms of talent level. And look, up until last night's performance by Jay Cutler, would anybody say, oh, I like Cutler, I'd like to have him, you know, playing quarterback at this
no,
critical stage?
Definitely
I don't
not
think so
Cutler
either.
Nobody would say, Well, that I could be wrong. You might have had a lot of Bills fans like give us Jay Cutler, you know. But Jay Cutler has not shown consistently his talent that he has. You know, he hasn't shown. We always talk about he doesn't care, but he just really hasn't played up to the talent that he has. You know, you'll see a game where it's like, man, this dude can throw it from any angle. He can do so many different things. He's, you know, taking command of the huddle type of thing. And then you'll see other games where it's just like he's checked out, you know, and he's just not – he's overthrowing guys, underthrowing guys, and it's like, where's all that arm talent that we know he has, you know? And so you don't know what to expect in this game coming here, and you don't know what to expect from him. You don't know what to expect from the rest of this team. But we do know, at least from knowing the Dolphins and obviously watching them last night, just the talent that they have across the board.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game this week. We'll talk a lot about it as the week goes along. Still recapping what went on here Sunday, too. The Bills win over the Indianapolis Colts. And yesterday, defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier had some thoughts on that when he addressed the media. Frazier was asked about his mindset going to overtime and what he thought about when Sean McDermott elected to punt in the overtime. The Bills with a 4th-and-1 at the Colts 41-yard line. What did Leslie Frazier think about that? Here's how he answered the question yesterday.
Well, we talked to our guys, you know, at the beginning of overtime about the rules just to make sure everybody was clear and that once our offense went out and didn't score, you know, we couldn't let them, you know, get any points because that would essentially end the game. So we were looking forward as a defense to getting on the field and getting the ball back to our offense and giving our offense a chance to score and win the game. So, you know, I think our guys embraced the moment. We were able to get off the field. Our offense took the football, and, of course, LeSean did a terrific job with the finish, and that catch by DT was incredible. So it worked out, you know, perfect from our standpoint.
Leslie, having been a head coach and being in those situations where Sean had to make a decision to punt, I mean, what goes through your mind in those brief seconds that you have to actually make a decision that can ultimately impact your team?
You're right. Those are brief seconds, and a lot of different scenarios are going through your mind, and you're probably consulting with your in this case, the offensive coordinator and talking through some of the scenarios, and then you have to make a final decision. And you have to trust your gut, you know, sometimes in those situations. And it worked out perfectly for us to be able to get that win. And I think Sean made a great decision. It really worked out well.
Leslie Frazier talking about the punt decision, which was roundly discussed here yesterday, Donald. And I'm interested to hear Frazier's take on that because he was a former head coach in the league and was faced with decisions like that, I'm sure. And I said this yesterday, as much debate as there was about that, I would not have punted there. But I don't think it's like a capital crime or anything that McDermott did that. It's a tough call. It's a tough call that only a head coach can make and has to make. And it worked. By the way, you know, and people to say, well, you had no reason to believe it would work. Well, you don't, but now you have empirical evidence that it worked. I mean, you have right there in front of you on the face of it. It worked. So, you know, it's certainly defensible. There were people saying it's indefensible, a fireable offense, which is totally ridiculous. But to hear Leslie Frazier say that, who's been in that chair, made those kind of decisions, I said this yesterday, if you put Sean McDermott in a room with 31 other NFL coaches and discuss that play, that situation, those circumstances, which were unique with weather and what had been going on in the game, those other head coaches would probably say, that's a tough call. None of them would say, how could you ever do that? They'd say, well, that's a close one.
If you set them all in one room, you probably get half the room say, I do this, half the room say, I do this. You know, it's that's a tough call, and that's the position that you get paid the big bucks to be in, you know. And the reason he's there is because, you know, he's worked that point to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in that seat making that decision.
Right.
You're at home watching it on TV,
right.
You know, so you want to criticize. But, look, he made a call. I didn't agree with it either when it happened. And for me, my thought process was it wasn't really that the Colts – we're going to score, you know, because it was like you really didn't know who was going to score. I thought it was going to end up in a tie, number one. Or I thought, okay, the defense will have to stop them. They're going to get the ball back with not enough time to really drive down the field and get a touchdown. And when you look at the kicking situation and the conditions out there, it was like, all right, I don't know if the Bills will have enough time to run on the field. First of all, did it seem like, and you could tell me what was happening because you were there, the Colts had so much time to clear off the field for Vinatieri.
Yeah.
And I'm watching on TV, and I'm like, Why do they have so much time to clear off the field?
There were a couple of timeouts that preceded it, but they kind of milked it and put the sideline personnel out there too, which was a violation of NFL operations. You know, you can't do that. The players can do it, but
right.
You can't call the water boy out there to do it.
They did, exactly. They did.
And,
you know, I'm like, what is going
on
here?
Brad Allen pushed him away. He said, after a few minutes when he saw what was going on, he said, no.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so just the kicking conditions, I'm like, man, I don't want to have to put it on the leg of Steven Hauschka. As good as he's been, you never know what's going to happen out here, you know, and the game could end up in a tie, and then that's not really going to help you out in trying to get to the playoffs, you know. Now, it worked out because LeSean McCoy broke a big run and just sealed the deal, but that was my thought process going into it. Like, man, even if they get the ball back, they're going to have to try and kick a field goal in these conditions.
Yeah. And McCoy made that moot. Yeah. Here's a call from Fred in Rochester. Hello, Fred. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Just calling in. Davil knows this. The wide receivers are the most they're the fanatical people on the team, okay? Wide receivers are like a deer in the woods. They get spooked. They got to get captains. Everything's got to be just right for them. And it's funny because I can relate as I hear Donald speak, I can relate to how he did his job and what he considered was important. And he falls right into the category of a wide receiver. I don't know if he would agree or not, but
what do you say about Donald?
Yeah, what's the category again?
Yeah.
They're very finicky, okay?
Finicky.
They're finicky ones on the team. Okay, they've got to have everything just right, you know, and they get very upset when it isn't that way. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but it seems that way. I did some coaching, and that's the way it seemed when I coached wide receivers.
Donald, you know, you have 2 minutes to defend yourself.
When you called up, Brad, I thought originally in the beginning that you were going somewhere positive, you know, and then I quickly realized, all right, I think he's saying something different about – no, listen, wide receivers – it's all good, Fred. I'm messing with you, man. Wide receivers, wide receivers and DBs are divas. That's just what it is. You know, guys want it to be perfect conditions.
Exactly. Fred.
Okay. You good? Yeah. Wide receivers. Go ahead, Fred. Go ahead.
I got just a couple more things. these last three games I'm very worried about. I don't know. They're going to be really tough games. I think they're gonna have some turnovers this week. I think they've got to get back to the turnover deal, and I think they will win this week. The last two games, boy, they're just toss a coin on those. And one last thing, I don't know if you guys remember or not, but I called in last year, and we had the conversation of you were looking at the schedule for this year. And we all kind of said, well, what would happen if, like, this all boiled down to the last game and they had to win the game in order to be in the playoffs? Now, I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but we did have that conversation last year, and it turned out to be almost exactly that way.
Yeah, I mean, that probably – I don't remember exactly. I remember having a conversation, and it probably was when the schedule came out. And we saw that we had four divisional games in the last, five games of the season.
Yeah.
And it was like, man, you're going to have to win those games to get into the playoffs.
I think Fred said he was afraid of these last – I'm really looking forward to these last three games. You know what? The Bills might miss the playoffs. They might lose two of them, three of them, and not make it. But I think there's a unique opportunity, and we talk about it a lot, meaningful December football. Now we're into the third of three home games in December. Who could argue that last Sunday's game was compelling? I mean, just an amazing game to watch. And if we're lucky, we'll get a couple more of those. I look forward to it. Are they going
to
finish successfully and make the playoffs? I don't know. I don't bet on this stuff for good reason. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But I really am riveted by what lies in front of us here the next 3 weeks.
You know, it's these next 3 weeks, I don't remember this late in the season, and obviously this was before I was really watching the Bills, this late in the season where there were like true meaningful games, you know, where you could say you control your own destiny. Last year we were saying, well, you know, if you win this game and this team loses their games, then you can still get in. Mathematically, you're still alive. You know, you're still alive in this thing. Right now, they actually control everything that they need to control, that they want to control. I think
Not necessarily.
If they win.
If they win out, they're not necessarily locked in.
And why would that be?
Just because of the tiebreakers. Chris Brown kind of outlined it yesterday.
Oh, see, I wasn't here yesterday.
Yeah, I know you weren't here yesterday. I remember.
Well, I mean, for the most part, if you win, they got to handle their own business.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And if you win, you put yourself in a much better position than last year. We were talking about a lot of teams had to lose. You know, you were kind of always in the hunt last year.
Right.
You know, well, this year you're sitting in that last wild card spot, and you just need to win, and hopefully everything works out still.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think I look forward to these three games because they are meaningful games. One here in Buffalo coming up this Sunday, and then the other two on the road. They're all divisional games, you know, so I look forward to it.
Sunday Colts game, meaningful and memorable, and I'm certain for our next guest as well. He is a former Buffalo Bill, played 7 years in the NFL, a couple of them here on the offensive line for the Buffalo Bills. Broadcaster on the Westwood One Radio Network. He had the call of the game, the network radio call of the game with Tom McCarthy on the Bills and the Colts. Happy to have our buddy Ross Tucker on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with us. Ross, John Murphy and Donald Jones here. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see you Sunday, Murph.
You made it back, huh, after a long – it was like trains, planes, and automobiles for you this past weekend, huh?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, it started – I live in central Pennsylvania, like Harrisburg, Hershey area, the state capital, and drove to Philly Saturday morning. I had the Army-Navy game where I was on the sideline in the snow, hopped in my car, and drove back on my way up to Buffalo. The funny part about it, you guys will appreciate this, is I drive back to Central PA. The first hour and a half driving out of Philly was like blizzard, whiteout conditions. I pick up my father-in-law. We decide to stay the night in Corning, New York. So I'm there. I pull into a gas station, and people are looking at my car, which is just snow everywhere. And they're like, where were you? And I said, I was in Philly for the Army-Navy game. Okay. A couple people are staring at me weird. Then they come up to Buffalo. I pull in. There's no snow. Even at like 12:15, Murph, there was no snow. Next thing you know, it is coming down hard. I've never experienced a football game with that much snow where it was that much of a factor. Couldn't even see the Colts on the other side of the field at times. I get back to my car after the game, and there's a foot of snow on top of my car, a foot, and I forgot my scraper, whatever. So I drive all the way back to central Pennsylvania, and I'm in central PA, and I go through a drive-thru. And the drive-thru girl looks at me and says, where were you? And I said, Buffalo. So back-to-back days, my car was totally snow-filled. And in between, there was no snow at all. But the two places I was on the endpoints, I got hit both places.
Amazing. You tweeted out about it. I got a kick out of your tweet. You said, I got home. 15 hours of driving, five of which in white-knuckle blizzard conditions, 800-plus miles, two awesome walk-off football games, possibly setting a world record for snow volume in back-to-back football games broadcasted. I would think so. I can't imagine anybody saw two games back-to-back 2 days with that much snow, Ross. Put that in your scrapbook. I don't think anybody's going to challenge that.
You need to call Guinness.
No, I can't imagine either, but what was killing me, John, and you'll appreciate this, Donald, as well, you know, when you know you got to drive five-plus hours back in the snow, did we really have to go to overtime? I mean, did we really have to do overtime? I mean, I was like, and then for an overtime, I couldn't believe that McDermott punted it. And I still think that was the wrong decision and that, you know, Joe Webb, Deontay Thompson, and LeSean McCoy really bailed him out. Because I heard you guys talking about all the playoff scenarios. The reality is a tie would have been, in my mind, if you look at, like, the Ravens schedule and the other, that would have been a tantamount to a death sentence if they got a bye and if they got a tie in that game.
Sure.
I cannot believe McDermott punted it away in overtime, but it worked out. So evidently, you know, that's why he's a head coach and I'm just the guy driving in the snow.
Yeah. It was difficult to broadcast, wasn't it, Ross? We were right next to you up in the broadcast booth. Difficult to see. Certainly there was no yard markers. How did you get around all that?
Well, it's easier for the color man than it is for play-by-play, certainly. But there were times where Tom McCarthy, play-by-play, would look at the scoreboard and he'd say, all right, it's a third and four for the Colts. They are at the 44-yard line. And I'd say, Tom, it's at least third and seven.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the chains right now, and I promise you, that's either the longest 4 yards in the history of the measurement process or they're wrong. I mean, it was tough to see. I talked to Preston Brown on Monday, and he said there was one time where he got blocked and fell down to the ground and was like 10 yards away from the play, and he heard the loudspeaker say, "Tackle Preston Brown." And he said, "Sweet, I got credit for a tackle. So I just fell down and got knocked on my butt."
Hey, Ross, have you ever – you played six, you know, years in the league. Have you ever played in a game like that?
No, not like that. I mean, I played in some downpours. Certainly in Buffalo, I remember playing in a freezing rain game against the Cardinals. I remember a snow game against the Browns, but it wasn't like that. It was like flurries. There might have been one in New England at the end of that one in 03 that maybe there was some snow, but nothing like that. I mean, nothing where – I mean, Deontay Thompson caught that pass, and, you know, more than half of his body was submerged in the snow. I mean, those guys walking back to the huddle, they look like eight-year-olds with their snow boots on, you know, because the snow got that thick. And there was one stretch where, for whatever reason, they didn't do a TV timeout for a while, and you couldn't see – the whole field was white. I mean, I had no idea where the yard lines were, what anything was that was going on. And honestly, it was incredibly compelling to watch. And I give guys like Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy a ton of credit. I mean, those aren't spring chickens anymore.
Right.
To have that many carries and to get hit that many times. Plus, I mean, I don't know what it was like for you, but growing up, if I ever tackled someone, we were in the backyard playing snow football, I mean, the move then is you smash their face into the snow. I mean, that's like obligation.
Right.
So I wonder how much snow Gore and McCoy got in their faces, too.
Yeah. With Ross Tucker, former Bills guard. He's a broadcaster for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and on Westwood One Radio Network. He had the call of the game, the Bills and the Colts. Well, you heard us at the tail end a couple of minutes ago of our conversation, Ross, outlining the slim thread of playoff hope the Bills have still with the three games left to go. Look, somebody in the AFC, the sixth seed, is going to be a terribly flawed team, whether it's the Bills or the Dolphins or the Baltimore Ravens. Why not Buffalo?
You're right. I think they're probably going to have to win out, though, because if you look at Baltimore's schedule, I mean, they really should win all three of those games. The Steelers did the Bills a huge favor by winning Sunday night when the Ravens, I thought, got the better of the Steelers for most of the action in that game, and they just couldn't close it out. Otherwise, the Ravens would already almost be handed that win. I think it'll probably be Baltimore, but it's the Bills' job to make sure they win and give themselves every opportunity, you know, to take that spot. It'd be awesome if they broke the streak. And frankly, I'm not going to say that they would have beat the LA Chargers, but it makes it all the more disappointing that they didn't play Tyrod in that game and actually give themselves a chance to win that game. They probably still wouldn't have won, but you don't know. I mean, they won at Kansas City, so they might have been able to win that game. It's a shame that, you know, McDermott, who I like, put them in a team in a position to not really have a chance to win that game.
You know, Ross, there's always a couple of games you're like, man, if you just win that game, you could think all the way back to the second game of the season against the Panthers, you know, where you make one play and you end up winning the game, and that could come back to haunt you at the end of the year. But as you talk about Baltimore and their schedule, come on, man, Cleveland almost pulled out a victory this weekend, so you got to believe that they can beat Baltimore.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I just think Baltimore's playing better right now offensively. I was a little surprised they got tore up defensively like that. I think Jimmy Smith being out had a big part to do with it. And you're right. I think the Browns do have a chance because they are playing better. Plus, you know, that was a long, hard-fought game Sunday night by the Ravens. So there's certainly hope, and I think Murph makes a good point. It's nice to have hope this time of year. But I got to tell you, you got to know this. I played for five teams, but the team that I most associate myself with and that I kind of root for the most and had the best experience is the Buffalo Bills. I just want for those fans so bad to get that monkey off the back that while meaningful December football is nice, I feel like, you know, we've had a couple of years where they've done that, including us in 04. I want them to actually get it. I want them to get the reward of making the playoffs.
Ross Tucker joins us. He was part of the broadcast for the Bills and the Colts on Westwood One Radio this past Sunday. And the day before, you had, I would think it would be an honor to be on the sidelines for Army-Navy. You and I talked before the Bills game, Ross, about the pageantry of that game and the pregame ceremony and how moving that was. You were right there seeing some of that on Saturday, right?
It was my second time, and anybody listening, I cannot recommend enough, if you have a chance, go to the Army-Navy game to do it. And, in fact, I don't know if you guys have had a chance. Did you guys get a chance to see, like, the intro that CBS ran at the start of the game?
I did not see that. I did not.
Oh, my gosh. Murph, you got to look at it. Go on CBS, Google it. It's the best five-minute video I've ever seen in my life. I don't want to give it away, but I'm just telling you, the best five-minute video I've ever seen. It still gives me chills. I mean, I was there interviewing the guys afterwards, and I'm trying to get interviews. I just ended up in the middle of all of the Army football team, as well as a bunch of the cadets that had come down on the field for that, you know, the alma mater. And to be in the middle of that and see all these young men singing the alma mater with the pride that they are, and knowing that they signed up to potentially put themselves in harm's way for us, you know, it just gives me goosebumps. I mean, you know, my grandpa was career military. My mom was an Army brat, graduated from Fort Knox High School in Kentucky. And so that's kind of how I was raised. And it's just, I love those guys, man. I mean, I love those guys.
What a great weekend for you, Russ, huh?
Unbelievable. It really, and how about this, Murph? Nothing is more important to me or that I like more than Pennsylvania high school football. And I did four of the state championship games on Thursday and Friday.
Wow.
So I had like the weekend of Ross. It was amazing. So anytime I'm like driving in the snow or something, or I'm cold at the Army Navy game and I'm thinking about complaining, I think about my eighth grade self when I was 5'6" and a chubby 150 and never thought, you know, I'd ever play. And I think, dude, your eighth grade self would kick your butt right now. This is amazing that you're 38. You still haven't had a real job yet.
Hey, Ross, I mean, that's a lot of games back-to-back days like that. Did you mix any of the names up from the games before?
No, thankfully it was high school and then college and then NFL. So that helped. You know, the NFL guys I know in my sleep.
Right.
The college, to be frank, you know, when you're on the sideline, you don't have to memorize every guy's name and number quite as much.
Yeah.
And for the high school kids, I wasn't about to spend all that time to try to memorize every high school kid for four different games.
Right.
I knew the important guys, and I had the names and numbers in front of me and made sure I got the pronunciations right. Because I always look at it like that game, like those kids are going to watch that forever.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. They're going to watch those state championship games. So I got to nail the pronunciations as well.
Hey, Ross, your eighth grade Ross would probably be a big fan of a product you're associated with, the ball cannon. It's like a jugs machine for recreational use, right? Tell us about that.
Exactly, Murph. It's awesome. It's a guy from my hometown, and he wanted me to get involved. I said, no, I'm not interested. And he drove over to my house and showed it to me. I said, oh, heck yeah. This thing's, I mean, I've now bought three. I bought one for my nephew for Christmas last year. A buddy of mine hooked me up with 8 Penn State tickets and parking passes and the club section and stuff. So I bought one for him and his three boys. I just bought a third just to make sure I still have one because my kids love to play with it. And they're only 4 or 5. I would say, in all sincerity, I cannot imagine a better gift, especially if you have a son ages 5 to 15. If you have a son age 5 to 15 and you haven't gotten them that wow gift that they'll play with for 3 hours on Christmas and that they'll talk about for years, go to ballcannon.com. Just check out the video. Just check out Ball Cannon anywhere on social media or Google or whatever, and just watch the video and then know in person it's even 10 times better. I mean, it's legitimately awesome. I've seen kids after they get one, and I've seen it. I've been to a couple events where it's been. The line is like 20 deep. I mean, people love this thing, and your kid could as well. But get it like in the next 5 days because after that, they probably couldn't be able to get it for you in time for Christmas.
I looked it up online. It's like $500 or so, a little bit less than $500.
Yes, it is. And here's the thing, Murph. Here's how I look at it. Your kid will play with it for 5 to 10 years,
yeah,
like all the time. So I look at it like, you know, $50 a year, $100 a year for something your kid's going to play with and get a crazy amount of usage of.
And it shoots out Nerf balls, right? The Nerf balls out of a jugs machine, essentially, right?
It does, but you can crank it up. Like I've seen, you know, my high school team, they use it all the time. I mean, those kids, we got a receiver that's a Division I player. He uses it all the time. He's 18. Meanwhile, my 4 and 5 year olds love it. You just have to It's all about the speed and the launch angle. Like, I crank it down for my kids. If you're with the high school kids, you can crank it all the way up, and then there's a delay on it. So they actually can play it by themselves. Like, they'll press the button. They'll make it a half-a-second delay, and they'll go on a running sprint, press the button, run like a 10-yard in cut, and catch it themselves. So that's the thing that's cool is, like, you know, we all like to throw the ball to our kids, but you can't be there all the time. They can literally play catch by themselves with this thing.
The Ball Cannon, theballcannon.com. Russ is involved with that. Ross, good to have you on the show with us. I'm glad you had it. It does sound like a tremendous, what do you call it, the weekend of Ross?
Weekend of Ross.
Like the summer
weekend
of George of from Seinfeld, right? I mean, you had everything going for you last weekend. Sounds like a fantastic weekend. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us here today.
Yeah, it was awesome, Murph. Always great to see you. Always great to be back in Buffalo. Could not believe how many people came to the game. I guess I should have known better. And I have an awesome video I posted on Twitter right after the LeSean McCoy touchdown of everybody throwing snowballs, players, you know, making snow angels. It was, Murph? It was pandemonium at Ralph Wilson.
It was. Ross, thanks. Good to talk with you. Good to see you Sunday.
See you guys.
Thank you. Ross Tucker, former Bills offensive lineman, a couple of years here, 6 years in the NFL, now a broadcaster with Westwood One Radio, did the game on Westwood One this past Sunday, and the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and also involved with Ball Cannon. It looks pretty cool.
It looks like a cool kid to get your. A cool gift to get your kid. I mean, I'd get one for my son. He'd love it.
He would love that. He'd wear them out. You'd have to get two or three.
Well. I don't know about that.
Ballcannon.com. Ross joined us on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline. Subway Eat Fresh. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. It is snowing in Orchard Park, going to snow overnight. And the Bills are off today, back in practice tomorrow with the Miami Dolphins coming up Sunday. Give us your thoughts on the matchup with the Dolphins, the two games that remain. How many of those do you think the Buffalo Bills will win of those two? That's our Twitter poll. We'll look at that in a minute. But give us a call. What do you think? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Robert in Buffalo has a thought for us. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, Donald?
Okay.
Okay, now, when he kicked it up for 4th and 1, I think that was the best call he could have made. You mean, you had the snow conditions out there that was bad. If you put them in the back, what they did, you let the defense go ahead and, you know, either stop them, and it's going to give Shady and the rest of the offense better field position. Now, if they don't make that 4th and 1, Lord knows what could have happened at that point.
Mm-hmm.
My last question is, Donald, what did you want to announce it? Come back to football, man. We miss you. I'm going to hang up and let y'all talk.
Come on back and play.
Yeah, I wish, Robert.
Robert, why don't you come back and play?
I wish I could come back and play. That would be fun. I probably would have complained about the snow, then have fun on Sunday, and then complained about it afterwards.
Nobody was complaining, you know, in that roster. Nobody was complaining. They all kind of liked it. They were
giddy. Oh, yeah. They also won.
Yeah,
the game, you know. So if they didn't win, you probably would have had some complaints out there. But all in all, playing in a game like that is fun. And Robert, I would love to play, man. But unfortunately, it's not really up to me.
Let's go to Thomas on the line. Hello, Thomas. You're on the air with us.
Hey guys, how you feeling?
Good.
Feeling good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. I gotta say, I was actually surprised Miami beat New England last night, but this definitely made things interesting, like you guys were mentioning. That's why I'm looking forward to these games, because if Pittsburgh can beat New England, I think that game, when we play New England again, it would be a lot more interesting, because I think the division will be up for grabs as long as Pittsburgh can beat New England. And as you guys mentioned, as long as we can get some help from some other teams. But I say the best case scenario is that the Chargers win the West. Hopefully the Ravens lose, but if they don't, then the next best thing is for the Titans to lose out. So what do you guys think? And also, the one thing I'm definitely going to remember from that snow game is Trey Day Book getting down. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, did you see any of that video?
I saw him dancing, yeah. I did see him dancing. And I think out of those scenarios he just talked about, the one that seems very likely to me is the Chargers actually winning the West. And they play the Chiefs this week. You know, that's going to be a big game. But I think the Chargers can win that division. And then you know, we'll see what else happens from there.
One more call here. Let's go to Jonathan and Alden. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hey, John. Hey, Don. All thanks for the show. I think the Bills are going to sweep the Dolphins. I mean, yes, they want the Dolphins Miami defeated New England, but I still think Buffalo has more talent. One thing I noticed is that's 2 weeks in a row Tom Brady and the Patriots struggled to get to 20 points and scoring 30, 40, 30, 40. Then they got 23 and 20. Do you think Tom Brady still suffering from his injuries, or he's starting to – what do you think about why he's starting to regress? Or
I don't know.
I don't necessarily think he's regressing. I think yesterday's game, I do think that they not having Gronk on the field with them was a big issue, you know. And Gronk and Edelman have been the security blankets for Tom Brady. And someone pointed out to me, well, they just won a Super Bowl without Gronk, but they also had Julian Edelman on the field, you know. And he made some huge plays in that game. He's always been the one that, you know, Brady goes to in a pinch or third down or something like that. This year, they've been going to Gronk, you know, and Gronk is typically not the first read. Gronk is sometimes the second, sometimes the third read, but he's so big and physical, it's hard for guys to stay with him, and Brady knows that, and he'll get him the ball, you know, whenever he needs to pick up a first down or something like that. Yesterday, they didn't have either one of those guys, and it showed out there on the field. The receivers weren't creating much separation from those DBs. The DBs were playing physical ball with them up front. They weren't able to handle the Dolphins' front seven, you know, and I think it just showed. I don't think Brady is regressing, though. I think he's shown this year that he is still Tom Brady.
Time now for NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Couple of issues to deal with, true or false. Steelers, Pittsburgh, coming off that win, that close win over Baltimore Sunday night. The Steelers are primed for a long playoff run, a deep playoff run. Ron Cook, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, puts that forth, says, you know, well, I'll quote it. He says, I've been in the business for 70 years. I cannot remember a better streak than the one the Steelers have going on in regular season primetime home games. They are 25-7, 25 wins, 7 losses, primetime home games at Heinz Field since it opened in 2001. Beyond that, though, the Steelers primed for a deep playoff run, I would say true. Based on, I know they just barely escaped Sunday against Baltimore, but they've got the three that you need. You know, they've got the premium running back in Le'Veon Bell. They've got Antonio Brown, best receiver in the game, and they have Ben Roethlisberger, not the best quarterback in the game, but one of the best, maybe top five, top ten, somewhere in that range. Yes, I think the Steelers, especially after last night, the Steelers are looking like they're going to have a long, deep playoff run, maybe to the Super Bowl. What do you think?
I'm going to say false. I think the Steelers are not playing the brand of football that wins you games in the playoffs. They're playing, scoring a lot of points. Their defense is not able to stop teams, you know. I think because of that, they're going to end up losing to a team like a Jacksonville if they face a Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that is playing, you know, winning formula football for the playoffs. And Jacksonville, people will sleep on that team. That is a very talented team down in Jacksonville. They are playing very strong defense, and they are running the ball. So I think ultimately the Steelers don't have what it takes this year, at least not at this point, to make a run into the playoffs like that.
Here's an interesting one that comes from our buddy Joel Corey, former player agent who we have on the show once in a while to talk about money issues. Mm-hmm. Joel Corey, we should feel bad for Adam Vinatieri. He could lose out on a $500,000 incentive. According to Joel Corey, Vinatieri, Colts kicker, needs to hit at least 90% of his field goals this season to get a $500,000 incentive, 90%. Going into the Buffalo game, he was at 95.7%. Mm-hmm. He was 0 for 2 Sunday. Now he's at 88%. He's under 90%. He could lose $500,000 because of what happened here in Buffalo, going 0 for 2. So should we feel bad for Adam Vinatieri? I say false. I love Adam Vinatieri, Pro Football Hall of Famer, certainly. He's made a lot of money kicking the football. Right. I wouldn't worry about a $500,000 one way or the other.
And, you know, look, I'm going to go false on this one as well. I think I read somewhere he needs to make, like, his next five kicks or something like that to get back above 90. but, you know, he's made a lot of money. He's made a lot of big-time kicks in his career.
A lot of kicking in the dome, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of kicking in the dome, you know. And, look, you get paid the big bucks because you can make certain kicks. He wasn't able to get that one through.
It was brutal Sunday. But
it was brutal. It really was, but – you know, it is what it is. I don't. I can't really feel bad for
and
him.
And he should have, if he was smart, if his agent were smart, he would have included extra point kicks because that extra point kick he made Sunday was amazing. Field goals, not so much. True or false, NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Back with more in a moment, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Ryan Davis joined us. Bills defensive end got a sack Sunday against Jacoby Brissett. Ryan Davis talked about how much fun he had playing in the snow on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts.
We check in 2 hours before kickoff, 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. You know, it was green. I seen the field. It was green. Yeah. It was green. So when we come out there an hour and 15 minutes later, it looked like a blizzard out there. So it was like, man, what is this? But at the same time, it was like, man, it's going to be fun. We was all hyped up, you know, like little kids. I think I went out there and did a snow angel right before, you know, it got real bad. So then we came back for kickoff. It got worse.
So then
it got to a point on Sunday where we weren't even standing on the field. We were standing on the snow. And then when you walk on the field, you're walking 3-4 inches up, and you walk on the sideline, and you're going back to the ground. So it was funny, but it was fun, though.
It was fun, and now the Bills look at the Dolphins. Do the next three against the Dolphins. Our Twitter poll after Miami's performance last night. How many games will the Bills win against the Dolphins of those two? On Twitter, 52% of you said they'll sweep them. 34% say they'll split. 14% say they'll get swept. Interesting. A lot of optimism out there, Donald. That surprises me.
There's a lot of optimism. But I just see it being a split. You know, we'll see how it works out, but I see a split.
All right. Want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, our producer, Jay Harris. We will see you tomorrow at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.